All righty, Joel Radio's back. How's it going out there? Joel Fragamenti joining you. Welcome to Joel Radio. We got a packed show. I've been gone for 3 weeks from this show. There's a lot to talk about, a lot going on. Some of it we won't even get into. Some of it I may wait for Corey Hall to return. Because he would be more of the expert on...
That'd be a great idea, Joel.
...my professional wrestling convention and shows that I went to over Labor Day. But anyway, we got another guest, a guy returning. I think probably the last time you were on this show, Ted Moss. Comedian Ted Moss.
And I think this is probably going to be the last time I'm ever on.
Well,
but it's good to be here.
Well, I think the last time you were on, you were in the midst of the Broken Road Comedy Tour.
Oh,
and you
yes.
called in.
Yes.
And then it was like, oh.
And I want to thank you for that, Joel. people chasing me.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, in Savannah, Georgia, I think it was, or someplace like that. It was terrible.
I put you
things.
On the air and I asked you who was jerking off in the RV while I was on speakerphone in some park.
Yes, in front of all these people doing Tai Chi that were all 70
and
years
I
old
kind
and older
of, I,
and looking at me while they're standing still and you're saying perverted things.
And
thank
it
you,
almost
Joel.
Made it on. What you should have done was taken the podcast and actually put that into the Broken Road Comedy Tour video.
Much more entertaining if we would have done that.
But you mentioned it, but then you didn't play it and I felt like it would have
helped.
It would have been good for
we
show.
Needed you to edit. That's what we needed. Thanks, Joel.
You're
kind of like a year late.
You had my permission to use
your
the
dick
audio
joke.
From your appearance on the show.
And with us broadcasting dick jokes, Joel Fragamenti.
Anyway.
Look, I'm being funny. You're gonna go on the air live with me, and you
right.
expect me to behave?
Well,
that's not what the show is.
Dude, I was reporting in. I was like a field reporter.
All right, let's talk about the Broken Road. For those of you, and God, it's been almost a year, right? When did you officially leave on the Broken Road Comedy Tour?
We left on December 11th, Billy Reno and myself, and got back mid-March.
All right, so that was last year. So
yes.
Almost a year.
Well, it was this
nine,
year.
9 months ago, yeah. 2018
well, March,
mostly.
Mid-March, yeah.
2017, 2018.
Yeah.
And how many cities did you go to? I know you have your little... box of memories in front of you with all the names.
Yes, we did. We went to a shitload of cities, Joel.
Yeah.
We did 30 shows in 90 days.
Wow, okay. Well, that's
mostly open mics, mostly nothing shows, but some good shows, too.
Okay,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did it benefit your career in any way? Has anyone said to you, Ted, I need you. You just did this little show for nothing, and we need you to come back to our town and perform, and we're going to give you a bunch of money.
Well, you know what? I'm not really sure that was the aim, and maybe it has.
Okay, but maybe
but really,
it happens.
Really, the question was, will we be funny in New Orleans? Will we be funny in L.A.?
Okay.
Because we don't know.
Yeah.
We have no idea. Maybe our humor won't travel. So that was kind of the idea, but I'll tell you what it did do. It introduced us to the comedy crew and most of the little cities.
So
we know kind of the players now, and they know who we are.
Well, let me ask you this next question then. This has been my... Now, I've traveled and I've done shows out of town, but I'm normally not doing the open mic. So I'm not working with the local yokels, maybe the MC or somebody. What I find and what I find when I talk to other comedians who do trips like yours, even if they're just... one town, you know, we went to this town and did their open mic.
Right,
whatever,
right.
Is that most towns, their comedians suck, and that what we have in Michigan and Detroit specifically is a much higher level than most places where you'll perform. Did you find that to be true?
Well, absolutely. And I'm not sure we played with just lousy comedians everywhere. There were some people that, one guy by the name of Little, he actually toured with Ron White, and he was on the same stage with us.
Okay.
Bill Burr went on about 10 people in front of me, and he's pretty decent.
Sure, I have Bill
But
Burr's
in any case,
very good.
What we found was that we were better than most people we performed with.
Okay.
Not always.
Right.
But we really could hold our own. I thought we represented Detroit pretty well. But I think there's a better comedy community here. And I think that we got the trinity of comedy. We've got we got the guy that does the dojo. What's his name?
Chili Chalice?
Chili, yeah, we got him. And we got... Bill Bouchard.
Okay.
And we've got you.
So oh.
That's kind of...
So we're teaching people how to be good in a way that other towns could use somebody like me or...
I think some of these people don't have a freaking clue.
Well, yeah.
I mean, some aren't even telling jokes. Some people are just talking.
Well, you need professional comedians to teach the amateurs.
Yeah, but
because amateurs, when left to their own devices, will almost always do the wrong thing because comedy is counterintuitive. You don't always do... What you think is going to be the right thing to do is often the wrong thing.
Well,
to
you
do.
Know what? A lot of people are funny in person, so they think they can do stand-up.
Yeah, that's true.
And they
too.
Go and stand behind the mic, and they say what they say to their friends.
Yeah.
Not so funny.
Okay, well, let's...
But I think the training is important. I mean, if you really want to do it,
well,
you need
done
somebody
my
to tell
class
you.
And other classes.
I've done your class a couple times because I can't remember that much information.
Right.
And do your listeners know that you are like the professor of comedy for the state of
Michigan? I plug it and,
but do they know that you're the guy?
I would hope so. I mean, I don't know.
Of...
I think my students listen is one of the groups that might listen to this would be people who are my students because I talk about it on there. And the show that you and Billy did, which is now about 2 years ago probably, at least... I use a lot of times is what I teach in the class. I went through some of the syllabus that night with you
right,
guys.
Right, right. But the point is that you're the guy that stands up and talks 2.5 hours about comedy, like 6 classes in a row. That's
right.
A lot of information on comedy. And the students get to talk to somebody that's actually doing it.
Sure, yeah.
I don't think most communities have
that. No,
they don't.
They don't.
I don't know anywhere where they have
that.
So if you add that to what Bill does and what Chili does.
All right.
I mean, there's a lot of opportunity to learn.
Well, let me ask you this then. In all your travels, who had the best scene, quality of comedians, quality of the show, any of that, that you would say would be the best of all of those cities on the road?
Well,
not you have to say Detroit, but, I mean, anything that you traveled to, you visited.
Well, obviously, L.A. had the best quality comedians. I thought Orlando had a pretty good scene.
Yeah.
There was a pretty good scene in Texas, and actually eastern Texas.
I've heard that Texas, like Houston, has a really good scene. I don't know. Is that where you were?
In San Antonio was pretty good.
Yeah.
El Paso, that was an interesting town. But
so those are all southern sort of Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were trying to stay in the south because it was snowing in the north.
Oh, okay. So even Dallas is dicey. Yeah.
Well, we came back in a more northern route.
Yeah.
We kind of took the southern route across to L.A. and then a little bit more northern coming back, hitting different towns.
Okay. Now, what was then, same question, but, you know, slightly different. What was the worst town? Who was just like, these guys are fucking clueless. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. Let's call them out right now, Ted. Right here on Joel Radio.
Oh, God.
The international sensation podcast that it
oh,
is.
Oh, dude.
Tell them who they are. Come on. We'll fight them. We'll take them on. Raleigh, North Carolina, look the fuck out. You guys suck. Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, man.
I don't know if you're even Raleigh.
No. Tell
us what town was the worst, Ted.
No, I can't.
Come on.
Well, it's not the town. It's not the reflection of the whole town.
All you got to go on is that night. That's all you got to go on.
Well.
So I'm not. I know it's not representative. I mean, maybe it is representative. But you got to give me one, Ted. This is big time radio, Ted. Well, come on. Give us
there
one.
There were some interesting shows. Let me say.
All right, what was the worst show?
That may or may not be
indicative.
No.
Oh, you've got this awful open, Mike, but the rest of your shows are these fucking great things everybody goes to.
I'll give you both sides.
Give me the worst one.
Actually, we showed up to a great show in Key West run by a great couple people that were getting the scene moving.
Okay.
And they didn't have room for us in the show. It was a professional show.
Okay.
No guest spots, no nothing. But they said, if you show up tomorrow, we got a place where you can do some stand-up.
Okay.
And so we showed up, and... It was a bar, a long, skinny bar. Everybody sitting at the bar watching football games on the TVs across the bar. And at the long end of the bar, way down, there was a microphone, and they were playing a game of drunken spelling bee.
guys will do that in Michigan, too. That's not unique to
in the middle
Key
of
West.
The spelling bee. For no apparent reason, when people are just laughing about the spelling bee and watching the games and cheering for the games without turning anything off, they said, and now it's for some stand-up comedy. I thought, are you serious?
Yeah.
Here's Ted Moss. And I walked up.
And the drunken spelling bee could have been just anyone in the bar. It wasn't anybody.
Yeah. No.
Sometimes they do the drunken spelling bee and it's a bunch of comics that are in the spelling bee.
That wasn't the case. No, it was not the case.
Yeah.
But there were some good scenes, too. Actually, I saw a really cool podcast at a comedy club.
Okay.
There was three people.
Yeah.
And I think they have won some awards. I can't remember where it was.
Very
it was
prestigious Dallas. Podcast awards.
It was.
Very, very, very
high end.
Yes.
But the cool thing about it was at a comedy club, and there was three guys putting on, and they also had another mic for audience participation, and the people that were participating were comedians.
Okay.
Because they were coming in for the follow-up show, because there was an open mic afterwards.
I have done many live podcasts in my day.
It was great.
I haven't done one in a long time, because what I find is that the audience kind of doesn't really dig listening to people sitting around talking. Now, I did some of them where, you know, we did a roast. There's a roast, a Corey and Joel roast that you can listen to from the Comedy Castle that we did.
Yeah.
I did a bunch of live shows, including Kwanzaa, a celebration of Kwanzaa. Lights and Blacks. It was a holiday theme show.
Yeah, I don't know.
Black
that.
Guys and Jews doing comedy.
Oh, okay.
That was Kwanzaa.
Okay.
And, you know, we did the Joel Radio Anniversary Show and a bunch of different things. And and while they were really fun to do, and I think if you listen back to them, they were funny. Jimmy Pardo was on our anniversary show.
Yeah.
Big famous comic from L.A. But, you know, it. I don't know that. I mean, and it's funny because there's a place like the Magic Bag here in Ferndale, a little theater.
Right.
300 seater. Has live podcasts all the time. When I went to that wrestling convention, there were guys, big wrestling podcasters, doing live podcasts.
There is actually
and
such a thing as big wrestling podcasters.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. In professional wrestling.
I didn't even know there was big wrestling.
Oh, there's a lot of big wrestling. Stop it. But, I mean, guys like Jim Ross and Colt Cabana did their shows. I saw those. Dave Meltzer from Wrestling Observer.
Jeez, I need to tune in.
Well, if you don't like wrestling, you're not going to get anything
like
out of it.
I don't even watch it. I don't even know any of these people.
If you watched it, you might like it. I don't know. Maybe you would.
All right.
Okay, let me just real quick on that note. Speaking of, just the only name that John Mayer.
Yeah.
Was at wrestling.
Oh.
Yeah.
I saw that picture.
I'm a fan of John Mayer.
I know. I like
it. And I've only become a fan of John Mayer in the last like 90 days because I'm learning how to play the guitar. And everyone said, you got to listen to John Mayer. So I started with John Mayer, and it's good. Some of it's good.
Yeah.
Not all of it's good. A lot of it's good.
Yeah.
He's definitely a guitar hero. He is a wizard with a six string in his hand.
Well,
no
not only that, he writes well.
He does.
He has a great voice.
He does, yeah.
He has a great tone to his voice.
So
I mean, no wonder, you know, your body is a wonderland.
John
his voice
was,
alone.
John was a little bit further away than you are from me. Watching this whole wrestling show for 5 hours.
Yeah.
I didn't speak to him.
Lucky you.
I didn't say hi to him. I didn't get a picture with him. I didn't ask him any questions.
Yeah.
I let him sit there and watch wrestling with his buddies.
Why didn't you take a selfie with him in the background? That would have been the thing to do.
I could have done that, I guess. That was a thing.
That way it kind of attaches you to him.
Because I don't want to look like a complete fucking douche in front of those other people.
Yeah.
That I was sitting there with.
My daughter said she followed Britney Spears around New York City one time. But far enough back so she didn't know she was following.
Yeah.
I thought she probably knows.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go back to Broken Road.
Right.
I was going to go down the guitar path, which we're going to in a minute.
No. I'm sure this is very entertaining. What happened a year ago at open mics?
No, because we built up the Broken Road thing. And part of the thing I think that I came up with was a couple things. One is you're going to do this show. Now, look, you went out and bought an RV for the purpose of Broken Road Comedy Tour.
Well, yeah, kind
of. Because you and I went out, looked at an RV, didn't buy that one. That was kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So you found a better one.
Yeah, but there was kind of two sides to that. It wasn't just for the tour.
Okay, but what's the status of the RV? That's my next question.
I got it. You ready
still
to go?
Own the RV?
Yeah, let's
go. Cool.
Let's go on to it. Let's
we should
go to Chicago.
Somewhere.
Yeah, let's go to Chicago.
Thought we'd maybe go tailgate a Lions game, which we talked about doing that last
Why
year.
Why do you need an RV to tailgate? Good God, you're going to be standing outside throwing a football. Oh. You don't need an RV. Well, you want a bathroom to piss in? I mean,
a place to piss, place to chill, cool your
beer. Let's bring your toilet to the tailgate. I don't think you need that for that.
Listen, here's the deal.
It's good for traveling. Little trip, little weekend trip.
Well, maybe you impress some women, whatever you do. I don't know.
I'm not sure I want to sleep in an RV with you, Joel.
No, I'm just saying, you don't sleep in it. You drive it to the fucking Eastern Market, and you sit there and you drink beer and you go to Lions game.
It's made to live in. It has a kitchen and a stove and microwaves.
How was the RV life for the months that you were on the road?
I got to tell you, Billy Reno is really easy to get along with.
Okay.
Super nice guy.
That was my next question.
Super nice guy. No, it really wasn't bad. Other than the fact you won't want to wake him up out of a dead sleep
because
he thinks you're fighting him.
Honestly,
he wakes up punching.
Some guys are like,
that's kind of weird. And that RV is very small. And if I get off the couch, I'm standing over Billy Reno on the way to the bathroom.
What? It's very intense. Yeah.
Yeah. But I tell you
what. You're sharing a bedroom, essentially.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Yeah, you aren't closing the closet door when you're pissing.
I occasionally have to share a hotel room when I do the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh.
Because one of the other guys on the crew will share a hotel room, and it's a guy sometimes that I don't, sometimes it's a guy that I'm friends with, but a lot of times it's a guy I don't know.
But you don't go with a king size bed.
No, you have a couple queen size beds, and you get your own bed. But, you know, guys, you come and go, and guys get up and shower, and you just got to sit there and deal with it.
That's good. Always always better to have a couple of queens
than a king. And you and Billy got along? Everything was good?
Yeah. You know, Billy is a super nice guy.
Good.
Super honest, reliable. And actually, he picked out all the places we were going to perform.
Oh,
I didn't have to worry about. Actually, I was looking for cities to move to. That was kind of a underlying reason for the tour.
Did you find one?
You know, I found a town I really, really, really like.
That's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. There's a place I want to go to. But I was just talking about listing my house, so we'll see.
The Carolinas might get some cheap real estate there this week.
Right, you think?
Maybe.
Yeah.
After what?
I think I'm going to buy an ark. All these pedophile priests and it's starting to rain. I'm getting a little worried.
Buying the floodplain. That's the answer. Yeah. Save yourself some dough.
Yeah.
Right. What are the chances? Because what are the chances another catastrophic hurricane hits the Carolinas in your lifetime? Probably very little.
I'm not going to the Carolinas.
Oh, you motherfucker. I'm trying to save you money.
No. You know what? The place I fell in love with
Wilmington.
Knoxville.
Knoxville's great. I've been to Knoxville.
Wonderful. It's like a huge Ann Arbor.
It's a college town.
It is.
I did comedy right off campus, right on whatever the main drag is.
Did you perform at Scruffy's?
I can't remember what
there
the name
was. There was a place called Scruffy's. It was a theater, kind of in the back.
No, it was a restaurant, a bar restaurant, and I did it on their patio.
Okay, well, you know
what? Comedy on their patio.
They've got dozens of little bars and restaurants.
And
it's a college town.
Right on
Market Square.
Wherever the football stadium, whatever road that is on.
I don't know that.
That's where the bar was. It was right there. I literally walked at Peyton Manning Way.
Yeah.
It's one of the cross streets there.
The main drag is Gay Street.
Yeah, it might have been that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
and there's Market Square.
But, I mean, it was literally, like, I was in the shadow of the football stadium.
Yeah.
Doing stand-up.
What year was this?
2006, 2005.
Had the town been renovated then?
It was very nice. I enjoyed
it.
They
fixed up all the old buildings. All the old theaters have new red velvet seats on them. The live theater as well as the movie theater. Mm-hmm. It's all been fixed up. It's a super nice town.
I like Knoxville.
300,000 people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knoxville is...
beautiful. In the mountains?
I end up going to Knoxville a lot because that is... it's not technically, it is the halfway to Atlanta. It's more than halfway to Atlanta. But when you're driving to Atlanta, because my brother lives in Atlanta and I've driven to Atlanta frequently, Knoxville's always that thing.
Yeah, that's
you go
not,
like, okay, now we're in Knoxville, let's have lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And you hang out in Knoxville for a minute and then you move on. Yeah.
Do you know Atlanta's halfway to Key West?
Is it really? Okay.
From here. It seems you'd think you'd be closer because you're in Georgia.
Key West is about 24 hours because Atlanta's 11, 12 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Cool. So you and Billy got along?
Yeah, really well. Yeah,
cool.
Billy's super travel with.
Now, but I was also saying, okay, look, you're retired and you did well and you're living on that.
I can have
Billy
pizza
Reno's,
every Friday.
Billy Reno's a guy who maybe doesn't have the money to you know, he's in his prime. He should be in his prime earning years, Billy.
Dude, we weren't staying
and
at the Hyatts. We were staying in an RV.
But was it ever a
Walmart's
thing where,
parking lot, truck stops.
I'm burning cash on this trip and this is a problem and I'm running out of money and I can't spend money on this and we were going to eat out, but now we can't. So
well, the budget
how
got
did
tighter.
That, how did that happen? What happened there?
The budget got tighter.
As I predicted.
Yeah. But,
as I called right here.
Yeah, but that was expected. We kind of had a budget
But that
a budget
becomes
going up.
A source of friction at a point, doesn't it?
No, absolutely not.
Huh.
No. Everything was fine. You know, it got a little bit tight. And we had to watch how we were spending money. I had the option occasionally to get a room, maybe in a hotel, to get out of the RV.
Yeah.
But I thought that isn't right. Billy would be
because
lonely.
Because you would not get a room where you and Billy could both sleep in. Billy would sleep in the RV and you'd sleep in the room.
Hell no. Why would I? No, that's a bad
idea. Well, at least I know there's a hierarchy now.
Yeah, yeah.
You were the A. You were in. You were
I was the
boss.
Alpha.
You were in charge.
I was the one driving the RV.
Yeah, you paid for the RV.
I'm driving.
You were the one driving.
Damn RV.
Who paid for gas in the RV?
You know what? We split all the costs.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He paid for half everything. Yeah, and so did I.
Okay.
It was a great way to do it. And it was a lot of fun. Actually, if we ever want to perform in those communities now, we have contacts.
Okay.
And if we were at an open mic and did well, oftentimes they'd ask us to stay over and perform at another show in that town.
Okay.
We got some good shows that way.
So interesting.
It was all good.
And since you had nowhere to be, when someone said stay an extra night, it was never a problem.
I have nowhere to be ever the rest of my life. There's nowhere I ever have to be again, Joel. Right. I'm at that age.
You're not.
I'm just wandering.
Just hanging out.
I was so glad you invited me to your studio.
You had nothing to do today.
God, no, honestly, I was going to clean my oven. That was my big
deal
for today.
Well, there you go. But I'll get you out of here in time to clean your oven. I'll give you that promise today.
That's great.
Because Ted says, I don't know nothing about what you have to talk about.
I don't.
Today, you do, and you're going to be fine.
No, if you want an expert, get Corey back in here. He's
Corey will be back
because
Corey's got some stuff going on. I'm sure he'll talk about it when he comes back.
Okay.
He's unavailable today.
Yeah.
And last week, I think I was kind of ill. I kind of got sick on that trip a little bit.
I wish you would have told me before you hugged me hello when
I got
here.
No, I'm good now. But I came back, and because I was around all these people, and I was at this all-in show, it was 11,000 people, and then I was at this convention.
What were you doing at the show?
I was watching it.
You know, I don't know if you get sick that way. You know how I think I get sick?
I mean, I was in big crowds of people all weekend.
Yeah. They got to cough on your sneeze. They got to give some.
Yeah, but I'm in a giant crowd of people.
Are they spitting on you, dude?
These are wrestling fans who
they're probably
shower.
Spitting on you.
Yeah, they're probably.
I think I only now get sick by performing stand-up and putting my mouth on a mic or close to a mic or somehow getting disease that way.
Oh, shout out real quickly to a couple guys. One, Mike O'Keefe's a comic who lives in Chicago, and Mike ended up sitting next to me at one of the wrestling shows, coincidentally.
Oh,
so that was
lucky
cool to see
Mike.
Mike's my friend. And
great.
Vince Averill has a wrestling, he's a comedian, used to live in Michigan, lives in L.A. now. He has a big, believe it or not, a big wrestling podcast.
That's great.
Called We Watch Wrestling.
Where can I find that?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know. But here's the thing. I was on it. I did a segment with him at the convention.
And you know a lot about wrestling. You're
the
right
guy. We talked about wrestling.
I think that's great.
It was cool.
Yeah.
We sat there. We talked about the show we'd seen the night before and my memories of wrestling.
Are there still women wrestling? I think that's more entertaining than the Japanese people or whatever.
There's women.
They have Asian, Japanese. Aren't Japanese dominating wrestling?
Well, there's wrestling's big in Japan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of those guys. And now they're performing in the States a little more often.
Wrestling and women's golf. The Asians are just invading.
There's women who wrestle guys. How about that?
Come on.
No, I saw a bunch of those matches. It was good.
Isn't that the guy off Taxi, the comedian?
Well, it's not what he's doing. It's not what Andy Kaufman's doing.
Well, Andy Kaufman's not doing anything.
These are girls who are girls who really basically beat the shit out of the guys.
Really?
Yeah, there's a girl named Jordan Grace who does that.
Yeah, but this is
And there's a girl named Jessica Havoc who does that. And I saw them both wrestle. Look them up. Jordan Grace and Jessica Havoc.
This is pretend, Joel. Nobody's beating the shit out of anybody.
It's a very physical thing, and you need a certain amount of strength and skill to pull off these moves. And these women have it in a way that maybe women in the past, certainly not the women that Andy Kaufman was wrestling.
It's professional tumbling is what it is you're watching.
Whatever, but
it's gymnastics is what you're watching.
Look, I know what it is.
I saw a guy.
I don't need you to tell me what it is.
I saw a guy on Facebook.
I'll tell you what comedy is. Don't tell me what wrestling is.
I saw a guy on Facebook saying, if only so-and-so and so-and-so would wrestle, that would be legit. And I thought there's nothing legit about wrestling anyhow. Now, I know I'm not making any fans here, but...
Well, look, the point is some people are better at it than others. And the people that are good at it, you want to see them wrestle each other, and that's an attraction to fans.
That is why I always
want to go somewhere and see the best guys wrestle, which is why I went to Chicago for four nights and watched wrestling every single night and spent the afternoons at this convention listening to guys talk about wrestling.
Dude,
and
I wearing, like, that's why I
wore Ric Flair's robe, Ted Moss. I got to show that. I don't know if I'm going to put that on the show, but you know who Ric Flair is? He's a very famous wrestler.
No,
the 80s.
I know Leaping Larry Shane, dude. That's how far I go back.
I wore Ric Flair's robe, the Nature Boy.
Yeah, I quit watching the
championship belt.
Well, I understand it. I watch, making the team about
the
cheerleaders.
It's the same thing.
And I like watching the girls try to make the team, dude. So I get it.
But you would, you know what? It's one of those things where if you watched it, you might enjoy it. But you also have to kind of go, I'm going to stop making fun of it for a minute in order
to
let myself enjoy
it.
And then you might enjoy it.
I'm not making fun of it.
Because it's better than, here's the thing, it's better than it's ever been. Doesn't mean that you're going to like it. But if you do like it, now is the best time ever to like it.
How could it possibly be better than it's ever been?
It's better than it's ever been.
They kick each other.
Performers are better.
More realistically.
The shows are better put together.
They walk in with more pomp and ceremony.
There could be some of that. The production of the shows is bigger and better. And, you know, the production of the television is better.
Well, you know what?
The performers are better performers.
That's what they say about the Catholic Church, too. And look where that's going.
All right. Enough of you. All right. What else is going on?
Sorry.
Well, one of the things we did, we fucked around for an hour playing my guitar.
Yeah, that was fun. Joel's got a great guitar.
Yeah, thank you.
And he rocks it. I can't hardly
believe.
Well,
you know what?
He only started, 2 days ago or something like
that. Something like that. 2 days, 90 days. What's the difference? Well, the guitar was in the shop. I just got it back. So
yes.
I couldn't play it for a while because the...
And it's a beautiful guitar.
It's a nice guitar. It's an Epiphone. It is their Sheraton Pro.
I saw you stand there playing it, and I first thing I thought is,
right,
what a pretty guitar.
It is nice. You said it looks like Chuck Berry's guitar or something.
Did I say that?
Not today, but some other day.
Yeah.
What does that look like to you?
It's a hollow body. Yeah,
it is. It's
an Epiphone. Yeah, semi-hollow body, which means you can play it not amped.
You can play it not amped. Doesn't sound quite as good, but yeah, you can.
Well, yeah, but you can hear what you're playing.
Well, that's the thing about it.
It's not like
it reverberates.
Fender, yeah.
My sort of inspiration for that, first of all, there's a million guys, I was telling you before, there's a million guys who play an Epiphone Sheraton.
Yeah.
And have through the years. And I wasn't trying to go for that, because if I was going to buy a guitar of like, oh, I want to be like the Beatles, I would have bought a Casino, which is similar to that, but not exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I would have bought whatever the Beatles played.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I didn't do that.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy a blonde Telecaster that Bruce Springsteen plays, because I didn't want to look like a guy who's trying to be Bruce Springsteen, even though I played you the Born to Run riff.
Yeah, that's
first
you wanted to look like a guy who's trying to be Chuck Berry.
No, but it's not even Chuck Berry's guitar.
Well, his was red.
Well, he had a different Gibson thing. He didn't really play that.
Well, the Epiphone is kind of a knockoff of the Gibson, isn't it?
Well, it
really
is, but this thing is different. The similar Gibson to that is called the 335.
Yeah.
And it's a semi-hollow body.
Was it Gibson that was in Kalamazoo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were in fishing rods, and they went into guitar.
Like something like that.
Yeah, right.
But there's a guy named Bernard Butler.
From Worms to Squirrels.
He's in a band called Suede. He was in a band called Suede in the 90s.
All right.
And then he left.
Yeah.
But he played a 355, which is very similar to a 335, which is gold hardware. And so this is gold hardware. And his was red. Mine's natural. And
what do the numbers represent? What's a three?
Well,
I think
the idea was the 335 cost $335 back in 1959. When it came out.
You don't think it's like three pickups?
No, because it's only two pickups. But the 335, no, I think that's literally what it was. But and then the 355, because it was a gold hardware, was an extra $20.
Oh.
You know, and the fretboard would be different. See how that has block inlays?
Yeah.
335, I think, has dots. So the higher.
Yeah.
So this is, in a way, getting closer to what he had and his sound. Because he's a big inspiration to me.
Oh.
So that was kind of the idea of that guitar.
Yeah. Well, I can see you're going in that direction already.
Yeah, I don't know what direction. Believe me. I'm going in circles if I'm going. I'm going circling the train if nothing else.
No, it's very impressive, though.
Here's
I
the thing
your
about
software.
That guitar.
It's great.
Well, I showed you. I have a little Vox practice amp, which models a bunch of other amps and has effects built in, so that's cool. That's called the Vox Audio.
ADIO,
if you want to pick up one of those. It's very neat.
So small, you could wear it around your waist if
you wanted to. It actually will run on batteries if you wanted to.
That's cool.
That's plugged in, but you can take that anywhere you want.
Nothing will make you more popular than wearing an amp on your hip and playing electric guitar.
And then,
I think that's a great look.
So I got that, and then we also played Rocksmith, which is on my Xbox. You
get
that on Xbox or PS4 or computer.
And you let me play your guitar.
Yeah, and you did well.
I did okay.
You were playing Rebel.
Yeah.
And Satisfaction.
Yeah.
And you were playing rhythms. So you were playing all the chords.
Now, there you go.
And I go, Ted, watch me. I'm not going to play the chords. I'm going to play the lead lines, which is a lot of that is one string, at least at the level I'm at. And I was doing all right doing that.
You know, I used to have an Epiphone that I loved.
Yeah.
But it was a 12-string.
Okay. Yeah.
And I just kind of bought it from somebody. I had a 12-string Epiphone, and I didn't know how to tune it.
Okay.
So,
well,
and
now,
a lot of freaking strings.
There's a tuner built into the Vox. There's a tuner built into Rocksmith.
Well, in the dark ages,
I got a tuner on my phone.
In the dark ages, we didn't have that.
You know what?
You had to actually do it by ear.
Well, what guys would do is they would have like a C harmonica or an E-tuned harmonica, and they would tune that. They would play the E note, and then they'd play the guitar so it sounded like the harmonica, and then they'd tune the guitar based on that one note.
Well,
but if the harmonica was off, then the whole thing was off.
No, you can do the same thing with the piano.
Yeah, with the piano. The, yeah, yeah, yeah. The E on the piano or whatever.
But If you extrapolate out 12 strings from one E,
sure,
and you get one slightly flat in the middle, everything goes to hell. And then you strum 12 strings that are all slightly flat.
Yeah.
Not good.
No.
Not good.
And then it just sounds bad.
I called up the music shop and I said, I don't know how to tune this. They said, bring it in. Yeah. We'll tune it for you. I thought, well, that's fucking useless.
Yeah, exactly.
What, am I bringing it in there, what, once a week?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do
that. Well, the other thing that I learned in 90 days of playing guitar, and this is where you come back into the story, is you can spend every nickel you fucking have on this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, my guitar was, I'm not going to tell them I just spent on that, but it was affordable. It was not super expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, an actual 335 or 355 is over $2,000.
No, no, but that's a quality guitar.
It's a nice guitar. It's made in China, so it's not made in America. And
yeah.
Keeps the cost
low. Well,
you
don't want to have to live up to the shoes. You know what I mean? You don't want to have the top-end Jordans when you first hit the court.
I think the Jordans is probably a better job than making those, because there's probably sawdust and lacquer and things. Lacquer fumes. But one thing I learned is that, you know, well, you start playing the guitar, and then you like, you know, that guitar broke, and I'm like, man, if I had another guitar, I could still keep learning my guitar. So now I'm like, maybe I should get another guitar.
Well, you have another guitar.
I do, but it's a shitty acoustic that you can't even play.
Well, you know what? Other than that guitar, you should have an acoustic.
Exactly, yeah.
And you can get a pretty decent acoustic for $200.
And then when Ted heard that I was playing the guitar a couple shows ago, he hits me up and goes, I got a piano for you.
I do. I have a keyboard and a couple pianos. I'd like to get rid of one.
All right, maybe I'd like a piano.
Yeah.
And then I do that. So I said, Ted, let's figure out how to get this piano. I'll rent a van and we'll move the piano.
And what we found out was exactly how many miles apart we live.
Well, Ted goes, you can't just move a piano. You got to hire a piano mover. And I go, all right, how much does that cost? Ted goes, that'll be like $100. I've done it a million times. It's like $100. All right.
Yeah.
I start calling piano movers.
Yeah.
Well, first guy I called was, you know, Joe and Ed's Piano Movers or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
They go, we need, I told them where you lived. I told them where I lived. They go, we need $450.
They're putting their kids through college by moving pianos is what they're doing.
Well, fuck this thing. It's a free piano. Ted's offering them a free piano.
See, I should have charged you for the piano.
Yeah.
Then you would have thought that was a deal.
And then I go, all right, well, there's got to be. And Ted goes, hire two men in a truck.
Right.
So now I'm calling two men in a truck. And then they're saying, no, you got to call this other two men in a truck because we're too far away. It's going to be too expensive.
Right, right, right.
So then they said, well, because you're over 40 miles from Ted.
And we were. We were what, 50?
50 miles.
Yeah, 10 miles.
There is state regulations based upon freight shipments of over 40 miles in the state of Michigan and tariffs and all kinds of shit. So the grand cost of moving the piano,
the free piano
from Ted's house to my house was $850 was the quote I got.
Unless,
and then I called Ted and said, you know what, Ted, you're going to have to keep that piano to somebody else.
What you got to do is you move it to Novi, take it off the truck, have somebody play a song, put it back on the truck, and you have two little trips.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
that's
ultimately,
how you do it.
I find somebody that lives within 40 miles that's got a free piano.
Dude, I will drive to Novi. I'll play a song on it in Novi.
Yeah, but how are you going to get it to Novi?
You're going to hire a truck for $150 or $100 to go to Novi.
I could get a truck for $100.
Lower it down. I will play a song. Put it back up.
You got to do the labor.
Then you got two 25-mile trips.
Labor, dude.
Well, you don't have to. They're going to lift the piano.
Yeah, but I don't know how much it's going to come. Basically, here's the point. I could not knowingly spend $850 on a piano even $450 on a piano, even though the piano is probably worth thousands of dollars, maybe. Who knows?
30 days, you could be Elton John.
By the way, I saw a piano at the store that repaired my guitar the other day. They were asking $550.
For a brand new piano?
Well, I don't know if it was brand new, but it was a standard piano.
Do not buy that piano.
But then I still got to move the fucking thing, and I'm guessing the music store ain't moving it for nothing. So,
Yeah.
So basically, I'm not getting a piano anytime soon.
Really?
I'll buy another guitar before I'll buy a piano.
Use pianos, you're probably going to look at about $5,000.
But the thing is, when you go
on a baby grand,
if you go on your Craigslist, you go on your Facebook Marketplace, and there's a million pianos.
Yeah, people
are giving them away, but then you got to move them.
Yeah. But the nice thing about this piano is it's an old player, an upright, and it was made before World War I or whatever, when they're tall, so it's kind of cool. It's like the one Lennon used to write on.
Okay.
And on players, the keys are just a little bit closer together.
Okay.
So you, with your delicate hands, could
Who said my hands are delicate?
Could reach further.
Making assumptions about
that's
me.
That's the word on the street.
Been talking to my girlfriend? What are you talking to?
Yeah. No, it's easier to reach an octave.
Okay.
If they're closer together.
And
they're not so little that you even notice it, but to learn on it. Also, an upright, the hammers pound a little bit softer. That's fine. Have press this hard.
If anyone wants a piano, get a hold of Ted. Live within 50 miles or wherever Ted lives, and there you go.
Or I'll play it halfway there.
I don't know why that would work.
It's two trips. That's why.
Well, we said we could hire guys to – I'd get a truck.
Yeah.
We'd pay guys to put the piano on the truck.
Yeah.
We'd drive the truck to my house. We'd pay a different set of guys to come and unload it. That's a possibility. That would be less than $450.
Well, you better have a good
$100 on each end.
You got to lift the thing up and put it on a dolly. The lifting up onto the dolly.
But U-Haul will give you a dolly.
These are really, this is a heavy thing.
Well,
you know,
I don't
like listen. You and I cannot lift this piano.
That's
why
it's $450.
You and I are be lucky.
Yeah, you need a bunch of guys.
You don't need
that's
a bunch.
That's why it costs $450.
You need strong guys who don't have delicate hands.
The irony of us moving a piano and me losing a finger, then I can't play piano or guitar, you motherfucker.
There you go.
All right, listen.
It's on your strumming hand, you'd be okay. It'd be just fine.
Speaking of music.
Speaking of your strumming hand.
What did Jerry play with? He was Jerry Garcia. He's missing fingers on his fret hand or his strumming hand?
I have no idea.
Django Reinhardt was missing fingers on his his fret hand.
Yeah, never followed the dead. I don't know.
You know who Django Reinhardt is?
No.
He was the most famous classical guitar player.
No.
Nylon string.
Yeah.
No. And he I think he only had two fingers on his left hand, and he played. He was a virtuoso with two fingers.
I think that's great.
Yeah. He adapted.
Yes.
I will not be doing that.
Yeah, that's like me and my comedy. No sense of humor, but I'm adapting. I just keep doing bad stuff.
Speaking of music, I attended the concert of another guitar guy the other night.
I heard that. Who was it? Pray tell.
Ed Sheeran.
Wow.
The English redheaded guitar playing guy.
He's
that
great.
That every girl likes.
Yeah.
Did a show at Ford Field.
Yes.
The football stadium. Sold out.
Yes.
For Ed Sheeran. My girlfriend's a fan.
Yeah.
I am not.
Red hair, tattoos. Yeah. What's not to like?
His music. But here's the point. I went to that show, and here's the thing that Ed Sheeran does that is interesting to me. Is he plays by himself. He has musicians.
A lot of us do that, Joel.
But he
plays.
He gets
paid for it, doesn't he?
So you listen to Ed Sheeran on the radio, and there's all kind of stuff in there. Strings and drums and everything. Bass. Ed Sheeran plays by himself. And what he does is he uses what's called a looper pedal, and he strums the chords, and then he records that and plays that back, makes a loop out of that. If he needs little drums, he pounds on the acoustic guitar and gets
sound. A lot of acoustic guys
gets
used to do that occasionally.
And
yeah.
That he loops that. If he has some backup vocals, he'll sing those backup vocals and record those and bring those in at the appropriate time. And he does it all live. And he says that. He says, before his second song, he goes, everything you're going to hear is live from this looper pedal, and nature little camera shot of the looper pedal, and he's got all these, it's a series of pedals.
So basically he's cheap and he's not hiring anybody to help him.
Well, look, if you sell...
Yeah, keeping the cost
tickets,
down.
These tickets were over $100.
Yeah, but I know, but
if you sell 60,000 tickets for every $100 each...
Yeah. No drummer,
and
no bass player.
Nobody else. Then he's got video screens and lights and all that shit.
Yeah.
A big stage.
Yeah, he's got one techie guy.
He's making all kind of fucking money doing this stuff.
Yeah, with a looper and a microphone. I know. Good for him.
So, man, that was impressive.
Yeah, it is.
The songs are, you've heard them on the radio. I don't need to play any Ed Sheeran now.
Hard to believe you could entertain people just by singing a little bit and having it loop
over. It is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Because you see this guy and you go, okay, that's good. But if he's going to play a stadium, he's going to need a band. And he's like, nah.
Nah.
Don't need that shit.
Nah. It's like all music is redundant, huh? Well, you're just playing a loop. I got this going over and over and over, and I'll just sing on top of it.
Here's one criticism that even if you like Ed Sheeran's music,
he's got a great voice.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
It's
singer-songwriter stuff. It's really, look, here's my review of Ed Sheeran's music. It's for girls. That's something me and Corey say all the time. What do you think of that TV show, Corey? It's for girls. And you go, yeah, it doesn't mean it sucks. It just means it's not really for us. It's not really for dudes. It's not really for you or I or Corey.
Is that a sexist thing to say? Can you say that?
No, but that is its appeal. You could say John Mayer's for girls, some of it. But I think John Mayer's a little more masculine.
You know what? I was at a fitness club. And a girl I knew was teaching some kind of fitness class. Mm-hmm. And I had watched the class, and she was very healthy. Me, not so much. And she asked me to come into her class, and I said, no, I don't want to do that. And she said, why?
Yeah, exactly.
And I said, that's for girls.
Exactly.
And she got mad. She thought that was sexist. I said, no.
But then you know what I mean.
No, I said,
you know what I mean.
It's a lower body workout.
Yeah.
Women are stronger with their lower
bodies.
They
want to make their butt look nice.
I can't do squats.
No one cares what your butt looks like.
No.
Not at all.
I don't even care.
I don't care. You could have a great ass, Dad. I wouldn't know.
I have to wash it, and I don't care. I have to groom it. I don't care.
But yeah, Ed Sheeran's kind of for girls. But here's the complaint about Ed Sheeran. I'm guessing Ed played for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, the concert began and ended at 2 hours.
That's a lot of looping.
Yeah. And also, there was Snow Patrol, who you don't know. But they were opening for Ed.
Sound great.
No, they're actually pretty good.
Are they wrestlers or are they musicians?
They're musicians. They're kind of a Coldplay deal.
Oh, okay.
And Ed Sheeran was their opening act.
Oh, and they swapped.
And they played the Fillmore, which is right across from Ford Field on Woodward Avenue.
Right.
And then Ed Sheeran, when he blew up, he brought them as his opening act. That was kind of cool.
They could not follow him.
And Snow Patrol.
Is that what happened? They could not follow him?
Well, once Ed Sheeran got on the radio every minute, Snow Patrol had kind of one hit. And people know that song.
Wasn't there some famous musician someplace performing? I don't know if it was at the Fillmore or whatever, back in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
And they were fighting about who was going to go on first between these two big groups.
Yeah.
And one had to go on first, and then he walked off stage and said, okay, follow that.
Okay, that story was the...
Who was that?
Okay, that was the... what was the name of it? It was in California.
Yeah.
It was the Who and Jimi Hendrix.
Yes, Hendrix.
It was the Who and Jimi Hendrix,
Hendrix.
No one wanted to go on...
First, nobody wanted to open.
I think no one wanted to open, so Pete smashed his guitar, as Pete does.
Yes.
And it wasn't Newport. What was the name of that? It was in Northern California.
Yeah.
It was in 67.
It wasn't
I'm
going to
look
more.
This up because I sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
No, it was an outdoor festival. It was, it was funny. I was watching videos of that.
It wasn't that Big Sur.
No. It was...
it wasn't an outdoor...
hold on. I'll get the name. It was Summer of Love. I'll have
was
it in 2 seconds.
Was that 68? Summer of Love? 68?
It was 67, yeah.
The year before King.
The Monterey Pop Festival.
Yes.
So Monterey Pop. So Pete smashes his stuff.
Yes.
And then Pete says to Jimmy, follow that.
That was it.
That's
all
when
right,
Jimmy
right.
went out and set his guitar on fire.
Oh.
Set his Stratocaster on fire. So that's the famous night. So Jimmy went last.
Jimmy was more talented.
But so anyway, back to Ed Sheeran.
All right. Yes.
The complaint about Ed Sheeran is in the 2 hours, he talked a fucking lot. Too much. He probably did about 40 minutes of talking. He did a headline comedy set in between all the songs.
Are you sure his voice wasn't on a looper and he was just
looping? No, he was talking. He says Detroit every 2 goddamn seconds.
So he gets applause.
So let's imagine you want people to clap your hands.
Detroit. All right.
Yeah, it's not just, hey, clap your hands. Hey, Detroit, clap your hands for me, Detroit. All right. And oh, you sound so good right now, Detroit. It was a lot of stuff. Remember, I taught comedy class. And I tell people, cheerleading,
polling
the audience, all that stuff. A lot of the cheats, a lot of stuff that bad comics do. I felt like Ed did that as a way to sort of ingratiate himself to the audience.
Give it up for giving it up.
Yeah, give it up for giving it up. I love doing that. I did that this past week.
You know,
I love that lecture. People love that lecture. I dump on everybody.
Dude, I was in a contest.
I even name names once in a while.
In Grand Rapids Sunday.
Yeah.
Third round, semifinals, guys were just... polling the audience.
Oh,
I'm like, this is not even comedy. There's no jokes.
The headliner.
There's no jokes.
There was a headline. Oh, I can't. There was recently the headliner at the Comedy Castle recently was yelling at the feature act for polling the audience.
Oh.
And the feature act dug his heels in and was telling the headliner he was full of shit. It was great.
No.
And I was in the middle of it.
Hold on.
I was in the middle of it. No. I'm not telling you it was. It was in the green room.
It was off stage.
It was in the green room. Okay. It was great. It was exactly what I talk about
I know,
in comedy
it's terrible.
Class.
Yeah, but people
and it was
don't
real.
Know.
And the headliner
people
was
know.
Like, fuck you to the feature. And the
people
feature's
get,
like, what difference does it make?
People get applause from that, and they think that they're doing a good job.
Here's what I say. I say in my class, and I meant to say this to my last class, and I'll bring it up this Saturday with him. There's exceptions to everything. So while polling the audience is a cheap thing that people do to get into a bit, okay, who here hates their boss? And then you do a bit about your boss. Who's married tonight? Where's my single people at?
Yeah.
Who loves dogs? Where's my cat people at? People do these little polls the way to get a bit, and it wears out the audience. It's not necessary. But there's exceptions to it. And I feel like the feature act, if he was going to defend himself better in that argument, would have said, all right, I do it once in a while. It's my thing. You don't have to do it. Who gives a shit? People like my show.
Right.
In that argument, I was on the headliner's side because, A, the headliner was a way better comic than the feature, for one. And for two, the Feature Act gets my on that stuff. And I felt like the Feature Act, while the Feature Act does well, people applaud, people laugh, people like that guy.
Right.
I think the Feature Act knows what he's doing. Uh-huh. I think he knows he's not a great comic. And it kind of felt like kicking a dog while he's down, in a
sense. Right, right.
Because I think the Feature Act knows his limitations, and he's worked around those limitations, and he's made himself a good comic.
Right, and that's what he's got.
At least to the audience, yeah. Even if not, he's not a comic's comic.
Yeah.
He's a crowd pleaser.
Right.
And he's not that guy. And so in his defense, you go, well, this is what the guy's got to do, because trying to be original and that doesn't work for this guy. But he's made a career for himself being this guy. I don't want to call him a hack, even though he may, you know, if it looks like a duck and sounds like a duck, you know what I mean? It's one of those things. But
no, I think that's pretty
interesting. This argument was really interesting to me to hear this. And believe me, I was giddy in a sense hearing this argument, because it's all the stuff that I talk about in class. And here it is, guys who both have careers, who are both getting paid to do comedy on the biggest stage in Michigan, yelling at each other while the MC's on stage. It was wonderful.
Right.
It was
Fantastic. maybe you should have said, this is all I got, dude. I know it's wrong, but this is what I got.
I don't know. But anyway, back to Ed. Ed did that, so I feel like, you know, you're kind of padding your show a little bit.
Yeah.
When I mean, and Ed's got a good dozen songs you'd know from the radio. I didn't really know any Ed music.
Yeah.
Except for what you hear on the radio, and I listen to radio sometimes, so I knew. Then I listened to it with my girlfriend, and he's been on every talk show and done all kind of stuff.
But you found it a little irritating that he was talking so much. Is that what
I'm hearing? Found that it wasn't... you're not getting value for your money when you spend $100 and the guy talks for 40
minutes. Well, let me ask you this. Does Springsteen talk that much?
Well, fair enough. Well, you finish your thought, then I'll go down Springsteen.
Okay, if he talked that much, explaining the songs or what he thought about things in between the songs, given his history and your fandom.
Springsteen, I'll do Springsteen.
Springsteen could just talk all night long and you'd love it.
Springsteen will do a thing where and this is on his famous live album, Live 1975 to 85. Yeah, there was a lot of this. Springsteen has the rep of talking a lot. And if you go see Springsteen, he'll play for 3.5-4 hours. He maybe talks for 10, 15 minutes of that. It's really not that much.
But you'd like him to talk more, right?
Well, by the argument against Ed Sheeran, no. But Springsteen used to do this, and this is on the live album. He's got, and I think it's usually Stevie playing this, so it's Stevie Van Zandt. He's just got a couple of strings, and he's going, yeah. Well, yeah. these are terrible. I picked terrible notes here because I don't know what I'm doing. But he'd go like, you know. Well, my father and I used to fight a lot. And he said, son, you need to cut your hair. And one night, my dad came to me and he said, son, I'm disappointed in you and what you've become. And I said, dad... you know, just shit like that.
Yeah, I like
and, you know.
You know what? He's doing Alice's Restaurant, basically. He's going to play background while he talks.
You know.
Yeah.
If you grew up in the 60s, you grew up with war on TV every night. It was a war you saw your friends go to, and some of them didn't come back.
Yeah.
And then I went from a physical, and I got a call from the draft board.
Yeah,
and I'd been in a motorcycle, and I had a bad knee, and they told me I was 4F, and I came home.
He said, no, I'm against F. I'm not 4F.
And I said to my dad, I said, the Army wouldn't take me, Dad. They said I was 4F, and my dad said, that's good. And this is called war. And then he'd do Edwin Starr's War. Or he'd do Independence Day, which is about his dad. So Springsteen has the rep of talking a lot.
Right. Well, what about like Unplugged? Do you remember Unplugged where they used to talk?
Storytellers.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. I kind of like that. I kind of like to hear about the song, where it started. I think.
That is Springsteen on Broadway.
Mellencamp did that,
too. Right.
He would explain.
He would
like. Pink houses.
So here's the difference, though. I went to Springsteen on Broadway, his Broadway show, which is still running,
right,
at the Walter Kerr Theater.
Is he there?
He's there every night.
He must be if it's still running.
He does 5 shows a week
on Broadway.
Acoustic guitar and piano only.
See,
his wife may or may not join him for 2 shows. She does most of the show.
We take the RV to New York.
All right, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you now. Let me finish. So Springsteen on Broadway is a lot of stories from his autobiography.
Yeah.
And then interspersed with songs that were inspired by his real life events. So he plays My Hometown on the piano.
Right.
He plays 10th Avenue Freezeout on the piano. He plays Born to Run on the acoustic guitar. He plays Thunder Road on acoustic guitar.
I didn't even Born know he played piano.
He talks about the Vietnam stuff, and he plays Born in the USA, which is about a Vietnam veteran, on the guitar. And it's great. And it's about 2 hours, and Bruce probably talks for half of that. Here's the difference. It's a intimate theater show.
Right.
The building that Bruce plays in every night is smaller physically of a building than the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak.
Oh, really?
It's a smaller physical building than that.
Yeah, yeah.
The top ticket at Springsteen on Broadway, face value, is $850.
Yeah.
It's a very expensive ticket, but it's a very intimate thing you get to see with Bruce, okay?
Yeah.
That's different because it is a Broadway show. It actually won a Tony Award.
Have you seen this?
I went last year in December.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At great expense.
And at $800.
And it was a wonderful show.
I'll bet it was.
I had a slightly cheaper ticket than that.
Yeah.
Just slightly.
Yeah.
But it was wonderful. But it's not a stadium. When Bruce plays with the E Street Band in a stadium full of people, which I've seen him at Wrigley Field, and I went to wherever the Patriots play, whatever that's called.
Yeah.
Whatever that's called. Yeah. In Boston. He doesn't fucking talk for fucking 40 minutes between.
So in your world, it depends on the room.
The venue determines
how much you should talk.
Exactly.
You want to go to a talking or a non-talking venue.
Springsteen on Broadway, they would film that for Netflix, so there's no need to get in the RV. It's going to be on Netflix in December. It's already been taped.
Cool.
So you can watch Springsteen on Broadway in December. You should watch Springsteen on Broadway. I take it you have Netflix.
Yes.
Then you're going to watch Springsteen on Broadway.
I have nothing better to do.
You're going
to
come back here and talk about it in December. Sound good?
I know.
Because I talked about it when I went and did a whole review of it.
No, so. I know you're running out of reasons to talk about Bruce, so I'd be glad to do that.
Well,
Bruce
again,
and wrestling.
The contrast between Bruce and Ed Sheeran to me is stark. And I feel like Ed doesn't have the tunes to really carry a two-hour show. But if Ed just did all the songs it would feel like a little bit of ripoff because you paid all this money and you went to the stadium and it's a big pain in the ass.
Right.
So my review of Ed is like everyone that went there because they liked Ed Sheeran had a great time.
Right.
Joel. I was skeptical and remain skeptical.
Yes.
My girlfriend had a great time. We had a great night out. It was super fun.
I was having fun because she was having fun.
Everyone was having fun. There's no line at the men's room at an Ed Sheeran concert, which is fantastic because there's almost no guys there.
It's almost all women. Now by the venue and the restrooms.
If you go see some of these guys.
How were the snacks? Were the hot dogs good? I mean,
we had gotten pizza before.
Was it good?
Yeah, at the Brass Rail, which is a cool little place downtown.
So. Well, I got a question for you. Because I listen to your podcast, and I've got a question for you.
Yeah, please do.
If it became a fact that you could never, ever, in the rest of your life, talk about one of these two things, would you never talk about Bruce or professional wrestling? You mean to an audience or to the world? No, never another word out of your mouth. Which would you choose?
I feel
your
like
Bruce
no.
Or your wrestler?
I think I could enjoy wrestling without ever talking to anybody about it. Because I don't know a lot of guys that are big. Like, I don't have a lot of close personal friends.
There's a lot of young comics that like wrestling.
There are, but I don't chat with. I mean, like I said, like Michael Keep's a young guy, and I was at that show with him and Vince. And there's a lot of, like I said, you're right. There's a lot of wrestling fans. I don't talk to a lot of guys about wrestling.
Most of your friends are older, and they just
kind of
laugh at you.
And I don't know if I talk to Bruce, but I do have people that are Bruce fans.
Yeah.
Who I talk to about Bruce.
Yeah.
When I see him, and I go, oh, did you go to the show? And like guys like Mike Czar. You know Mike Czar from Toledo? Mike went to Springsteen on Broadway. I know he made the pilgrimage.
Nah, I don't know.
One of my neighbors, I have a neighbor, my friend Chris. He lives 5 houses from me.
Yeah.
On my same street here in Ferndale, Michigan.
And?
I met him in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, Lord.
In the Springsteen line.
Are you kidding me?
What's your name? Hey, I'm Chris. What's your name? Hey, I'm Joel. Where do you live? Detroit? All right. What town in Detroit? Ferndale. Okay. What street you live on in Ferndale? You live on that street? Holy shit, I live on that street. What's your address? Holy shit, you live 5 houses down from me. I walk up and down the street. I see Chris all the time.
It was meant to be.
And we stop and we talk about Bruce.
I'll bet.
And
I mean, what else would you have to talk about?
Great.
He's not a wrestling fan.
We saw a Bruce Springsteen tribute act together.
That.
In Ferndale. It was wonderful. So I enjoy that.
Yes.
I enjoy being able to talk about Bruce. I enjoy being up to talk about music.
And the universe unfolds
and
for you, Joel.
So it's all good.
Everything's
so anyway,
the way it should be.
Yes, it's very good.
Here we are at Joel Studios.
Do you feel like you're able to follow along? Because that was your big concern.
Yeah, I followed
that
all that.
You sat here and you go, Joel, I don't know what you're going to talk about. I'm not going to be able to talk
about
this stuff.
Yeah, no.
I don't see these movies. I don't see these TV shows. I don't see any
of this talk
stuff.
About a guy that loops and you watch
you're
a
doing,
concert.
You're
but
doing...
Yeah.
You're doing good so far.
Thank you.
Okay, because we're gonna get into the shit you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, man. Let's go.
That's going to be right now.
All right.
So hold on to your hats. Well, we're going to start talking about Bert.
All right.
Because Bert died.
Yes.
We like to talk about stuff.
How old was Bert when he died?
How old was Bert?
Was he had to be 80.
Bert was 82.
Yeah, 82.
82. So anyway.
Going to miss him.
Let's talk about Bert. Yeah.
He hasn't been visible for a while.
Well, he actually did a movie recently. You just didn't see it.
He did?
Yeah.
What did he do?
I'll tell you in 1 second here.
All right.
Got it written down. Yeah, the Burt Reynolds movie, the last thing that Burt did.
Yeah.
Is something called The Last Movie Star from 2018. I guess that's this year.
Yeah, that would be this year.
It was a Lion in Winter drama about an aging actor reckoning with life after fame. That came out this year.
Typecasting.
Didn't see it. Well, he was kind of playing himself, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Now, Bert, so, and I also know one thing about that movie. I don't know if you're aware of this, but that movie, I believe, had Ariel Winter in it. And I think there was some photos of him on the set with her. Now, do you know who Ariel Winter is?
No, I don't, but I'd like to.
There's a show called Modern Family.
Yeah.
So on Modern Family, she's the youngest nerdy daughter. On Modern Family.
Hold it.
Now, I'm going to get to it. I know you have questions. Let me finish. Back when Modern Family started, she was probably 13, 14.
Yeah.
That show's been on for a long time.
Yeah.
As Ariel Winter got older,
yeah,
she started to mature in several big ways. A couple of big ways.
Yes.
And
prominent ways.
Yeah, a couple of large, upfront, prominent ways.
And came to Bert's attention.
Well, and then she sort of became like kind of a Kim Kardashian, kind of ended up in all the gossip pages for her revealing outfits.
Was that her real life,
I guess. Yeah. And on the show, she's playing this nerd.
Yeah.
So I think for her, maybe she was going against type a little bit. But on the show, they would keep having to put her in like flannel shirts, and there's several seasons where her hair is like combed over her chest,
really,
and maybe with
really because
even extensions
they
to
didn't want
cover.
That be part of her character.
Well, yeah, because her sister on that show, the older girl, is considered the sexy sister, and then you have this young nerd girl
that has developed
who is blowing the older sister. It's
out
a weird,
of the water.
It's
yeah.
a weird thing that happens with sitcoms as the kids grow up.
Yeah,
and sometimes they get very attractive.
Yeah,
but there was a lot of photos of Bert hanging out with this Ariel Winter girl.
Yeah, but how old is she?
Let me show you. Hold on a second.
You're going to show
me a picture? Ted, you old fart. I'm going to show you Ariel Winter.
In a flannel shirt.
Well, I'm going to show you Ariel Winter. Probably, if I just type in Ariel Winter and search for her images, you're going to get a lot of pictures of Ariel Winter in revealing outfits, Ted. I should have done this. Look at this. You're already seeing that's Ariel.
That's
Ariel Winter.
That's
there.
Her.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So she's the nerdy girl from.
No, she's not.
Well, that's the thing. But there were lots of photos of her. You know, look at, come on.
So she became that.
I mean, look,
oh my
would
God.
You look at that?
Oh my God.
I know. So that's, it's kind of ridiculous.
No, that's how you don't let your daughter go out in public.
You know,
right there.
80-year-old Bert is hanging out with her.
Why?
On the movie. Well, she's in that movie. She's in The Last Movie Star. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they were just casted in a movie together, but they aren't hanging
out. I don't think so. But, you know, Bert.
Yeah,
young Bert in the 70s would have crushed that, though. You know what I'm saying?
Well, when he was 70, he would have crushed
that. Yeah,
but not at 82.
You're giving him a lot of credit to saying when he was 70, he would have crushed
that. Dude, that's not that far down the road for me, so I can tell you.
You can dream. By the way, I have to close this, or I'm not going to be able to do the show.
Hey, I have pictures. I will text you.
Well, I believe you. So anyway, Ariel Winter was in that movie with him.
Distracting.
His most famous movie roles, according to Entertainment Weekly here. Deliverance from 73. Did you see that? Great movie. Great movie. And it's funny that movie
makes you want to go canoeing.
Well, you know, Ned Beatty gets fucked in the ass. No spoilers there. It's pretty common. But that movie's great.
And he squeals like a pig.
That movie's great. That scene became, you know, you say, oh, you make a, you say Deliverance in a story and it's a joke. Or it either means, you know, toothless hillbillies, or it means getting fucked in the ass, or both. But that movie is really a great movie.
Oh, it is a great movie.
Aside from those scenes.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
It's like the one guy goes through a transition to become a hunter or aggressive man, because
sure.
he has to.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that ends up defending them out with the bow and arrow.
It's a very, it's about male masculinity, male bonding, man against nature, all those things. It's a great movie.
I think it's about the change in the personality of the one docile man that goes right. out with him.
It's a bunch of like
he wants to be like Bert, and
it's a bunch of business guys who go out, and Bert's the alpha male.
Yeah,
but Bert gets injured. It's a great movie.
Yeah,
you should watch Deliverance.
They admire Bert, but then they kind of like, yeah, I don't want to be Bert, and the one becomes Bert.
Longest Yard, 1974. Never saw it.
Yeah,
but you remember it.
Yeah,
this is all pre-mustache Bert.
Yes, yeah. I think that was football prison movie.
Yeah, exactly. And they remade that later, but that movie sucked.
It was silly.
I saw that. Saw it at the drive-in.
Wasn't anything. Yeah, no that's good. The right place for that movie is the drive-in.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes. He was out in
1977.
Camaro or Firebird
Black
or what
Trans
it was.
Am, yeah. Black Trans Am.
Was it Trans Am?
Gold,
yeah, there you go.
Gold Eagle on the hood.
Yeah, and the stuttering.
T-tops.
The stuttering country singer was driving the big rig.
Jerry Reed.
Yes.
Jerry Reed, actually, since I've been playing guitar, I'm watching a lot of Jerry Reed YouTube.
Really?
Jerry Reed, one of the greatest guitar players that ever lived. And Jerry Reed's playing, very influential on 80s metal musicians.
Really?
Because Jerry Reed's finger picking was very accurate. And in order to pull off a lot of the heavy metal stuff, you think about
those kind of guys.
It's really just Jerry Reed country picking with different effects.
Yeah, I think he was in Led Zeppelin, wasn't he?
No, Jerry Reed was not. Jimmy Page. let's see. The Cannonball Run.
Yes.
Great movie.
Makeover of the other movie. It's the same thing, isn't it?
Of
driving fast cars.
Well, it was based
Burt
on
Reynolds
a real
in a fast car.
The
right?
original Cannonball Run. Well, yeah, it was Burt Reynolds driving fast.
Yeah.
Well, Cannonball Run and Smokey and the Bandit especially were part of trucker culture.
Yes.
Which I'm old enough to have lived through trucker culture.
Yes.
I had a CB radio as a kid.
Yes.
And you talk to the truckers.
Yes.
And it was fun.
What's your 20?
Yeah, 10-4, good buddy.
Where are the bears?
Yeah. And you talk to truckers, and they tell you where the fuzz is and all that stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
You know.
I had a CB radio for about a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Swear to God, I went down to Best Buy, bought a CB radio, brought it home, put it in my orange Firebird, installed it. Played with it for about a half an hour and thought, I don't know what the hell to say to these people. Took it out and took it back to the store. Thought, I cannot afford this. And I don't know who to talk to anyhow.
Well, you would have probably done well with the CB radio in the RV on the Broken Road Comedy Tour.
I used my grandmother's RV, and she had a CB radio in it.
Back then,
back in the day. And I remember talking to the truckers on the highway.
Right.
You know? Where are the smokers, good buddy?
Do you remember what the plot of Smokey and the Bandit was? Because I do.
Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I believe the plot was they were trying to get some alcohol or a truck across the country, and they sent Burt Reynolds out ahead to drive really fast so he would distract the cops. And I think Jackie Gleason was the head cop.
He was the sheriff in Georgia.
And he was keeping Jackie Gleason occupied so the semi-truck could go 90 or whatever.
It's the most ridiculous plot by today's standards.
Yeah.
They were moving Coors beer.
Was it Coors?
Because you couldn't get Coors everywhere.
I remember you could only get it in Colorado when
so
I was a kid.
So they were taking Coors, I think, from Colorado to Florida.
Yeah, might have been.
And they had to go through Georgia because that's just Florida. So,
because that's where Jackie Gleason is.
That's where Jackie Gleason was the thing. So Jerry Reed drove the truck.
Right.
And then Jerry Reed had to get, so the bandit was, he would go really fast.
Yes, he was the bait.
The cops would chase him.
Yeah, he was like the rabbit at the dog track.
And then Jerry Reed could drive the truck
behind it because there are no more cops than the one chasing.
Exactly.
Yeah, Smokey.
So that was the.
And somewhere Sally Fields jumped in, didn't she?
Well, yeah. So Sally Field, I think, leaves her wedding.
And jumps in the truck with Burt Reynolds because that would happen.
Well, that's kind of the plot.
Yeah, I mean, she just left pro wrestling and decided to jump in the truck with Burt Reynolds.
Look, she was the sex symbol.
She was cute.
Well, again, she was a teenager.
She was a flying nun, for God's sakes.
So she was a teenager.
And cute. And she didn't age. She aged very well, too.
Right, but I'm saying, so she's almost like an Ariel Winter.
Yeah.
Where as an adult.
Well, she wasn't as boobalicious as Ariel.
We're going to play a little bit of.
Here we go.
Because Jerry Reed sang the theme song as well. He's bound and down, loaded up. There you go. Are we going to do what they say can be done? Yeah. If I picked up the Epiphone, I'd be lost on how to play this.
I thought we could get the chords. We can get the chords, we can play this.
We can look up the chords now. So that's a great song, though.
That is great.
It is great.
Makes me want to go trucking. Where is my RV and Billy? Hit the road again. And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. This is great music.
Great song, yeah.
It is.
The theme song to Smokey and the Bandit by Jerry Reed.
Can you imagine just traveling high speed on the highway in a big old truck listening to that?
Yeah.
And I want to be a trucker.
They did another. They did a sequel. They actually did a couple, but then later, Jerry Reed ended up playing the Bandit, which was weird.
Yeah.
So it wasn't good.
You know what? Some of them
but
got
Burt
a little
did
bit
the first
slapstick.
And Cannonball Run had a sequel. Cannonball Run is based on a story, and I've read the story.
Yeah.
It was in a magazine about an actual race across the country where people had different techniques on the type of vehicle to take. And
yeah.
When you had to... Oh, sorry about that, guys. Where Jerry wanted to, or I'm sorry, they had to figure out which was the most fuel efficient vehicle, how to get, like, I think some people built a car with a giant gas
See,
tank.
See, that sounds
stop.
Very interesting. I would love to do something like
and
that.
And it was
that
in, might
cool.
have been in Scientific American or something like that.
Yeah, but did they have to
but
stay
then the
within
movie,
the speed limit?
I don't think you did, but then, you know, getting pulled over was part of the delays that you would have to encounter. So when they made the movie was complete bullshit and fiction, but you had, you know... You had, you know, Sammy Davis and Dean Martin as priests.
Right.
They were trying to get out of tickets by being priests. You had the two hot chicks in the Lamborghini.
Well, that got a little corny, though, at that
point. Yeah, that's where you had, So it was...
Didn't like Jackie Gleason either at all in that.
But it was a fun... you know, Paul Williams in there and stuff. It was a fun
little Paul
time
Williams.
Capsule sort of movie.
It was.
Ensemble comedy.
Right.
And the sequel was pretty similar, not a whole lot different. He was also known for Sharky's Machine, which is a good police story from
Don't
the early 80s. That was a good movie. The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas with Dolly Parton, a musical.
Not
as popular.
There should have been more sex in that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was set up for sex, and no sex in the sex movie.
One thing you're going to learn about Burt is that anyone he starred with, he fucked, apparently. That's what the tabloids will tell you.
Really?
So he was getting Dolly and...
And getting back to
that
girl that you were showing me on the screen.
Ariel Winter, yes.
Yes.
Well, that's the point. Burt would have crushed that as a guy in the 70s and 80s, but not as then. But Burt Reynolds, if Burt Reynolds wasn't famous when you were alive because you're too young, imagine The Rock, a guy that would go between comedies and action movies.
Yeah,
Clint Eastwood was kind of in
and
the same
he was very likable. He was
very likable.
He was kind of
good Bruce, talk show guest.
Bruce Willis likable.
Bruce Willis,
kind of
that
cool.
Kind of,
yeah, macho
Matthew
cool.
McConaughey would be a little bit of a Burt Reynolds. Matthew McConaughey's probably a better actor. He then did.
Matthew's not as macho as Bruce was.
Yeah, because I think Burt, not Bruce, was a football player in college. I think he played for Florida.
Yeah.
He was a running back. He did a series called Evening Shade in the 90s that was very popular, even though, you know.
Didn't he get in a fight with somebody on The Tonight Show or one of those shows?
He, you know, there's a lot of famous Burt Johnny Carson clips you can find online.
I mean, he punched somebody.
I don't know. He might
have. Yeah.
He was a hothead, and I think he drank too much.
Yeah.
And did all that stuff. Giant ego. That's what they always say.
Yeah. They all do. Don't
in the
they
late
all?
90s, he did Boogie Nights. I think he got an Oscar nomination for that.
Yeah. That was the porn movie.
And
that was he was the old guy who hired
he was the old
Wahlberg.
Porn producer
who hired Wahlberg to be the star porn guy
and he worked as the sleazy old guy which
because
he was
producer
why are you not being in movies as the sleazy old guy
I don't know. You know what, I watched Deep Throat the other night, the documentary
the documentary about
making it
not
the
actual Deep Throat.
You know, actually I went to see the actual one when it was really first out.
Did you go to like one of those theaters?
I went to a drive-in theater
because
it was a big deal. I don't know if people, it was a big deal when it came out.
Interesting.
And a friend of mine talked me into going to it. We got higher than hell. We're at this,
you and a couple of dudes, you and another
me
dude
and one guy.
Oh man.
And we're higher than hell. And Linda started doing her thing. He had brought chocolate chip cookies.
Oh.
I had a mouthful
romantic.
Of cookie mush and nothing to drink.
You guys can't
sit. And I said, we got to leave. I can't stand this.
Because you guys can't sit there and beat off,
I'm going to throw up. I got a mouthful of mush. I can't watch this. I was offended. He did not want to leave, and I had to pay him his cost of entrance in order to get him to leave. We were at the Scene Drive-In in Durand, Michigan. Used to call it the Durand Dirties. It had all the dirty. You know, that is kind of the headquarters.
It was a porn drive-in.
Durand was kind of the headquarters for all that stuff.
Was it?
There's a warehouse in Durand back in my lighting days that I sent one of my employees out to design the lighting.
Yeah.
And he went in, and it was just bins and bins, a whole warehouse full of dildos and men's magazines.
Sex toys, yeah.
Yeah, and men's magazines, because men's magazines, the really rank ones,
yeah,
are not dated because it doesn't matter. There are no current events in those magazines. So you can sell that same magazine forever.
The bodies haven't changed.
Yeah, well, I mean, 40 you know, years. Big Butts or Us or whatever they are. Yeah. It doesn't matter. This year, next year.
Well, and that, you know, that is part of, in a way, trucker culture is the porn shop by the side of the road, which is largely going away.
That's but not that trucker was a thing. Culture.
No, that was. That definitely was part of that.
You think?
Well, for actual truckers, not kids sitting at home with RVs.
I
think it's still part of trucker culture. I mean, yeah. I think when you go by the Lion's Den on the off ramp, it's a bunch of trucks in there.
Yeah, but they don't have. I don't think they're getting a lot of business.
You don't drive by the Velvet Touch in Flint on the way here.
Yeah, no, yeah. We used to go out and sit in front of the Velvet Touch in the state bar when I was in high school. We would buy some beer. And we would go down there.
Oh,
we go down to Industrial Avenue and holler at the hookers first. And then we go.
Because they're outside the Velvet Touch?
No. They were down by Buick.
Oh, okay.
No, they were down by the industrial places catching the shop workers.
Yeah.
We're 16, 17. We got, you know, our Colt 45s and driving around. So we're talking to hookers, or we're sitting in front of the Velvet Touch, which is next to the state bar, which was the gay bar. Okay. And we always thought it was just entertaining watching the comings and goings at the state bar and the Velvet Touch.
Guys probably went from the gay bar to the Velvet Touch.
Maybe.
And vice versa.
You know what? I swear to God.
I don't know if I need to know this.
Sorry, Bert.
This is your legacy, pal.
I had a friend of mine who had to do an appraisal on one of those places.
Oh, like for real estate, commercial
real
estate.
Yeah, because that's what he does. He says, will you go with me? And I said, sure. So I went down there. They have those booths you can walk into.
Yeah.
And back in the day, you would deposit, I don't know, a quarter and watch a 15-minute thing, movie or 10-minute movie.
Right.
And they'd have Kleenex there.
Oh, yeah.
So I went in, and they had previews on the screen. But I wasn't gonna touch anything. I wasn't even gonna shut the door.
Right.
So I went in and I just started watching the movie, the preview that was on.
Right.
Well, apparently if you leave the door open
I know where you're going.
And all of a sudden, this booth, which is like 4 feet by 4 feet.
Let's just let the audience in on what we both know. If you leave the door open,
I got company.
That means I would like company. Yeah.
Exactly. And I've got this guy.
I was a road comic for a long time.
I did not know this. He joined me in the booth.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm not watching anything. You can use it if you want, but I didn't even put a quarter in. So then I just kind of shimmied out. That was a mistake.
Yeah.
Who knew? I didn't know that was I don't frequent these places. I was just trying to not touch anything, like the door.
I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I was totally innocent.
But anyway, how did we get off on this thing?
All right, Burt Reynolds. This guy had
Boogie Nights. Boogie Nights.
All right. Sorry.
That's a good movie.
I hope my children don't listen to this. This is just terrible.
Burt Reynolds was a giant star, though.
Giant.
Probably the biggest box office draw for maybe a 10-year period from the late 70s to the mid-80s.
Lonnie Anderson's husband, I think, for a while.
Oh, yeah. Married to Lonnie Anderson. I forget all who he was married to. Yeah. I don't think him and Sally Field ever were married, but they definitely
were a thing
dated
for a long time. And I think a couple times.
I think he was married to Dinah Shore as well. Remember Dinah?
They were real close for a while. I know that.
Dinah Shore.
I used to watch him on Dinah Shore.
I used to watch that. My mom watched
it,
yeah.
I thought I was dating myself.
No. I was 4 years old.
Yeah, I was 5 or 6. I don't know.
I remember getting... Oh, God, this is embarrassing. I remember being a little tiny boy. I was probably 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
Watching Dinah Shore.
Yes.
And I was watching Dinah Shore, and I'm wearing, this is how young I was.
Yes.
I'm wearing footy pajamas.
There you go.
A one piece pajama.
With a drop back?
Right.
Or unzip?
I think he probably zipped.
Yeah.
But I remember going
I
into
bet you
the.
Were cute.
But I remember wearing. Well, this is, watch yourself when I'm telling the story. Be careful. So I remember watching Dinah Shore and going, I need to go into the bathroom. Something's happening.
Oh,
and
no.
I was watching Dinah Shore, and I could feel that the pajamas were getting tight.
No,
yeah, I was a little boy.
You got your first movement to Dinah Shore.
I think Dinah Shore gave me my first erection.
Congratulations,
as a little tiny boy,
Dinah.
But isn't that weird that like a little boy who's not conscious of sex or masturbation or their penis, other than peeing or anything. And it just happened.
I know.
Because it was Dinah Shore was on television. She was very attractive. And, you know, if you saw a picture of Dinah Shore from the 70s.
She was hot.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful and, blonde, you know, all kind of
Dinah,
hair.
Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow? I don't know.
I'm going to find Dinah.
You know what? I remember she used to do her own commercials on that show.
Okay.
And she was sponsored by Chevrolet.
Okay.
And she used to sing the song, See the USA in Your Chevrolet.
There's her and Bert right there.
Yeah.
Here she is with Bob Dylan in 82.
She was not dating Bob Dylan.
I don't know, but just a picture of her and Dylan.
Yeah, well, she was big. Bob was big.
I think she was kind of a movie star before she was a talk show host.
Yeah, she was kind of an old-fashioned Southern Belle kind of girl.
I would say that's the era Dinah Shore that would have aroused a young
that and Donna
Joel
Reed.
Fregimenti.
That and Donna Reed.
That would be probably
Father's
the
no
Dinah
best.
Shore.
Yes.
So that would have been the early 70s. Well, here she is on People magazine with Bert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm all about young Elizabeth Shue, too.
So here's the headline from 1974. Bert Reynolds and Dinah Shore, the superstar she said no to.
But what was the question?
That's a good question.
Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow?
Lonnie versus Bert inside Hollywood's nastiest divorce.
Yeah.
So
nastiest
anyway.
That week.
So anyway. Dinah Shore, Burt Reynolds, what can I tell you? Dinah's been dead for a while, too, I think.
Has she?
I think so.
You know, that's sad. I always see these old movie stars that I thought were, like, really just striking when I was young.
She died in 94.
Wow.
So she was 78 years old.
Wow.
So Burt was young stuff for her.
So,
right?
Yeah, he's 82. Yeah.
She was born in 1916.
Yeah, she was an older lady.
Yeah.
Leading them down the primrose path.
Anyway. That's... All right. Burt Reynolds, we'll see you. Check out Smokey and the Bandit, though. That is a great movie of its
classic.
Era.
And he's funny.
It's entertaining.
He's funny
in it. He's charming. And, of course, they're very famous for, like, I think maybe not on Cannonball Run, but definitely on Cannonball Run. I don't know about in the sequel, but I don't know about Smokey and the Bandit. The outtake gag reel credit scenes. Very famous.
Yes. Actually, I quote Burt Reynolds to this day.
Do you?
One of his lines out of that movie, I actually still quote, and that's, there's only two things that scare me, big-breasted women and the police.
That's good.
That's my favorite Burt
quote. And, you
know,
Burt also from the era of sexism, from the era of women objectifying women in a way that we try to not do nowadays. And so Burt is definitely a relic of that time,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
and of course, famously,
well, the movies were too.
Did Playgirl magazine
were.
Nude? Yeah. I've seen that photo everywhere in the last week. So.
All that stuff's very sexist if you look at any of the early movies.
All right, here's what's on TV that I've watched.
All right.
Mr. Ted.
Yes.
If you've got Amazon streaming.
Yes.
Amazon Prime, there's a show called Jack Ryan.
Really?
Now, this is based on the Tom Clancy Jack Ryan novels, which became a lot of popular movies, like The Hunt for Red October and Patriot Games Clear and Present Danger. So it was Harrison Ford, Alec Baldwin. I think Ben Affleck played Jack Ryan at one point. But this is a new series on Amazon starring John Krasinski from The Office.
Yes.
And he's being action hero young Jack Ryan.
Wow.
And he did a good job. It's a great series.
Good.
They spent $1 billion on this fucking thing.
Nah, really?
They spent so much money. It
how
looks
much? Really.
I don't
much?
Know. It's Amazon, dude.
Hundreds
how much
of
money does Amazon have?
I don't know. Actually,
billions.
My son-in-law
trillions.
Works for him. He isn't getting the money.
They spent a lot of goddamn money on this, Jack Ryan, and it looks like it.
But do they make a lot of money from things like this?
Well, I mean, they want you to be a subscriber to Amazon Prime for $10 a month or $100 a year or whatever it costs.
And what, there's 400 million people, 300 million people in the United States, something like that, and $10 a month.
And it's something, isn't it something
million?
Like a quarter of the American population has Amazon Prime? It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So they spent a lot of money on this show, and it looks like it. But it's very good. It's very similar to the Tom Clancy novels. It's an original story. It takes place in present day. Because the Tom Clancy stuff was really 80s and 90s stuff.
But it's
Tom's been dead for a long time, too, so it's not like he wrote it. Tom Clancy's been dead for
years. Right, but it's well-written.
It's well-written. It is pulpy. It is...
Yeah, that's okay. I like that.
It is not...
I like a little pulpy.
It is, like, bullshitty in a way where you go... Okay, so here's a... I forget the name of the Tom Clancy novel. I listened to the audiobook of a Tom Clancy novel when I was driving to New York City in the mid-90s. Because I was going to NYU, and it was the weekend we went to check it out, me and my buddy Pat.
Yeah.
And we listened to one of the Tom Clancy novels, a Jack Ryan novel. And here was the plot of that.
Okay.
And while we enjoyed this audiobook, it made the time fly on a trip in the 90s. You can imagine what your entertainment choices were on the radio then.
Right, right. Exactly.
So we got this book on tape that my dad had laying around. Yeah. He had listened to it. And here was the plot. Jack Ryan at this point was somewhere in the administration. He was working in the for the president in some capacity. But I think he was sort of the designated survivor guy. So they had set him aside. And he went to the president goes to give State of the Union, and a terrorist or two crashed an airplane into the Capitol.
Oh my God.
For the State of the Union address and killed the president, vice president, speaker of the house, the whole chain of command.
I think that's wishful thinking.
And at the end of that story, Jack Ryan became the president of the United States.
Wow.
That was a Tom Clancy novel.
Wow.
Forget the name of it. You can look it up.
Yes.
And me and my friend went like, well, terrorists are never going to hijack a plane and try to kill the president.
Really?
That will never happen. That's fucking bullshit.
Really?
And sure enough.
What year did this?
This was 96.
I wonder.
And you wonder if the terrorists
original idea,
were inspired by Tom Clancy.
Because where else is that?
I don't know.
Have you heard of that any other place?
But it's funny. But I remember when 9/11 happened, people did go, yeah, this was part of a Tom Clancy novel that no one thought could happen. You know?
Really?
Yeah. And that's why they do close the skies over Washington when it is the State of the Union.
Wow.
And all of those people. And they have the designated survivor, the person that steps aside. And then will become the president of the United States should the rest of the chamber. So that was one of that. That's how far fetched these Tom Clancy stories have been over the years.
No.
And this movie takes place. This show takes place. You know, it's about a guy in Syria, and him and his brother were killed by bombs, or his parents were killed by bombs.
Right.
So the brothers grew up without parents. They became terrorists. And now they're trying to strike Paris originally. It ends up going to the United States, and they're fighting over there. But the movie takes place in Paris. It takes place in Syria. It takes place in the United States. It's all over.
Is this a movie or a series?
It's an 8-episode series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's super, super well done.
But the danger just keeps moving from place to place.
It goes from place to place. I mean, you have terrorists.
Why wouldn't it?
Imagine Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
Gets on a plane and comes to America. That's kind of what happens in Jack Ryan.
If you could get Chevy Chase to play him, it'd be an American Vacation.
It's a very good show. If you like that Tom Clancy stuff, it's very good for that.
Well, that's
it's $1 billion, but some of it you do kind of go, I got to suspend disbelief here. But like I said, based upon the Tom Clancy novel of the terrorists crashing planes into shit, trying to kill people, that actually ended up happening. Maybe this Jack Ryan show's not that far-fetched.
Right, right.
But, good show. Let me also recommend it. I got to look up her name, but...
Hey, you know where else they close the skies? Is over Kyoto, Japan.
Okay.
That's the ancient capital of Japan. I know that.
But why did they do that?
Because it's a quiet town, and there's reverence for that particular town. It used to be the capital, and they moved the capital to Kyoto.
Interesting.
Where's the capital of Japan?
Tokyo.
Tokyo, thank you.
I don't know the capital of Japan.
No, but Kyoto.
What is this, a fucking quiz?
Apparently.
I don't know.
But I know this because we landed in Kyoto after sunset. They had to turn the lights on so we could land. And when we got off the plane, the place was packed with reporters who wanted to know, what the fuck are
Why
these
is
people?
Your plane here?
Why are you landing
after
in our holy town
Interesting.
And disturbing all our monks? Or whatever. And I'm like, we are on vacation. I don't have a freaking clue. I don't know. Don't ask me anything.
Abby Cornish is in this. You ever seen Abby Cornish?
No.
Very beautiful actress.
Cornish.
Plays the love interest, who also happens to be a doctor of infectious disease, which becomes part of the plot.
That's funny. She has a
And she just happens to be his girlfriend.
Oh, there you go. What I'll a show you.
And she's topless.
What?
Yeah, so there's another reason to watch.
So that's the poll.
And there's another reason to
that's
watch.
Why.
To right. watch Abby Cornish. Watch Jack Ryan. This terrorist stuff, I don't know. What's a good Abby Cornish photo for you? How's that, Ted?
Gosh, she's hot. See, this is Abby Cornish. This podcast is about who's growing tits and where can you see them.
There's your Abby Cornish.
She's very attractive.
She is.
But you
very
know
attractive.
What? All the movie stars
are attractive. Yes, I get that.
My
I
daughter understand. Did some acting, had some headshots done
yeah,
that were
they make
just
you look
incredible.
Like $1 million. Yeah, but
I mean, I can even look mediocre in a movie headshot.
Even Ted can look good. There she is in a bra, Ted.
Oh, my God. What happened to her? She went from blonde
well,
to redhead.
Well, she's blonde, brunette, redhead, I don't know.
Yeah, as long
Beats
as the breasts are the
me.
Same, you're good with it.
But she looks good. I mean, she yeah. plays a doctor, Ted.
Well, she should be doing some nursing with that.
She has the tools to nurse. Yes. But yeah, Abby Cornish is in
yeah,
this as well.
Good for
it's,
her.
A good, it's a good show.
I'm glad she's employed.
I mean, I'm not saying it's like the smartest television in the world,
no.
but it's quality.
No, we want to keep
You can
that
watch
up.
Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
It's good. And I also watched a thing. This was from the summer. I don't know if I talked about it last time. The Last Defense.
Ah.
This aired on ABC. It was a docuseries. It's kind of a murder show.
Oh, I like docuseries.
It was a documentary about people that are on death row, and this is their last defense. And they tried to...
I'm not sure I want to watch that.
Well, it was interesting because... I mean, this is a documentary. This is real stuff. It explored two different cases over 7 episodes. One of Darlie Routier.
But you know these people are really going to die, right?
Well, it's not seems just like... Made well, this woman, Darlie...
Death row,
this woman, Darlie Routier, is someone who was accused of killing her children.
Yes.
And she's on death row in Texas.
Yes.
And they tell you her story over 4 episodes, and it's interesting because there is a theory that it could have been an intruder, and there's evidence it could have been an intruder.
Is this a Benet Ramsey thing?
It's kind of like that, but...
What was it? Jean... What was his name?
Jean Benet Ramsey.
Yeah.
But this woman, Darlie Routier, is on death row in Texas for a murder in 1977 of her kids.
And you want to get to know her before they put her
and
out.
And they interview her. She's on the show. They tell you all the evidence, pro and con, and you make up your own mind.
That's so sad.
Are we going to murder an innocent woman? That's
oh, my
the story.
God. Yeah.
And then there's another story on this one.
I don't want to be
personally
involved.
I'll give you my opinion. I think Darlie Routier probably killed her kids.
Okay.
I think she's rightfully on death row.
Okay, but maybe she is, maybe she isn't, but I don't want to participate.
But then they do another story called the Julius Jones case. This is in Oklahoma in I think 1999. This guy was accused of a carjacking murder. And this guy was a star athlete, but he had some friends who were from the wrong side of the tracks. And this carjacking happens. They find the vehicle that was carjacked. The guys that they find at the chop shop with the car pin it on this Julius Jones fella.
Yeah.
And this Julius Jones guy says, hey, like, I know these guys, but I wasn't there and I have an alibi.
Right.
But Julius Jones got the death penalty. And so he's awaiting death in the state of Oklahoma. Okay. And there's a lot of compelling evidence that'll tell you Julius Jones didn't do it.
Well, yeah, but
so,
why is this entertaining?
You got
to
watch
question.
Because the cases are interesting.
You know, my daughter watched a series on serial killers, and I don't think the killing is that
well,
entertaining.
Well, if you like...
If you like killing?
Well, if you like trials and justice...
Well,
and
I like Law and Order,
interesting,
but
then this is real life Law and Order. I thought the show was very good. It was on over the summer. You can get it on Hulu. You can get it on ABC's website. It's called The Last Defense. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
And I like that stuff. I mean, I like The Jinx on HBO. I don't know if you saw that.
It might
that
be good,
really good,
but you know when you get old, Joel?
Yeah.
When you're old like me.
Well, old people watch these
shows. We've got a website where my high school classmates post who's dying when they die. And at the end of the year, they will have a list of everybody that has died that year.
Wow.
And of previous years.
Interesting.
Now, I don't mind knowing that because they die of normal causes, natural causes, because we're old
okay,
at this point. And so I take my
year. Probably for some years, it wasn't that.
I even find it a little entertaining. Well, I'm like, ha, well, I outlived you. And I get out my yearbook and put little black X's on their eyes.
That is disgusting.
No, that way I'm keeping track, dude. Yeah. I still got my high school yearbook. And I was thinking, should I or should I not post those to the website? I'm not really sure. Where you have a
you
just page after page.
Yeah.
You know what? If you're the
last. It seems like that's in poor taste.
If you're the last man standing, though, it's funnier than shit.
You know, the girl I sat with at my high school graduation commencement ceremony died that same summer in a car accident.
Yeah.
How about that?
That happens.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens. My best man, my first wedding, died 6 months to the day after my wedding.
Wow.
Was hitchhiking, got run over by a car.
Damn it.
My brother-in-law at 14, I held his hand while he's passed away.
Wow.
People die. Everybody's going to die. You're going to die. You know what? But the thing is, if you're going to die, you want your heart to go. You want your heart to stop first.
Yeah.
That's what you know what? You want to keep your legs healthy and your heart not so much, because you want to just fall over and be dead. You don't want to lose your legs, be in a wheelchair.
You don't
want to
lose
diaper.
Your mind either, though, do you?
No. No, you want your heart to go. When you go to a restaurant, you see that heart smart food? Don't eat that shit. If something's going to check out first, you don't want it to your mind or your legs. You want it to be your heart.
Fried food, gravy.
Yeah, hell yes. Think you can live just wonderful, and one day your heart stops.
I had a hamburger yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, it was very good.
I like hamburgers a lot.
It was good.
And, you know,
I got a good place.
Yeah. Wait, did your parents live long, or are they living? I don't even know.
My mother died young.
How young?
49.
Ooh. Natural causes? She didn't get hit by a car.
She didn't get hit by a car.
She might have.
She had an aneurysm in her brain.
Oh, that's not good.
It was caught. I don't know. I would say my mother's case was sort of unique to her.
Yeah. And your dad?
Still alive.
How old?
74.
Yeah. See, 75. My parents were like 90.
Good.
And drinking and smoking and eating candy, and you just couldn't kill them.
So you're going to, they're dead now.
Yes, just recently dead. I put X's on their eyes.
I was going to say,
all my pictures.
Would you put a pillow over their head? Or what you got you here?
No, I just keep track. I don't pause it.
All right. Well, I think that same perverse mindset appeals to some of the people that watch these shows.
Yeah, but these are people, you're talking about real people that other people are going to intentionally kill. I don't know.
What if you're innocent? Like the last defense.
And
is
then
saying.
They kill him. Yeah, that's even more
that's
entertaining.
That's wrong.
Well, so how entertaining is that?
Well, it's entertaining because you meet the lawyers who are trying to free these people.
Oh, have you dealt with lawyers? I've been through three lawsuits. There's nothing good. You
the
win
staircase.
A lawsuit, you still lose.
Staircase on Netflix. It's very, very long, but it's a great murder story.
About?
Did a guy murder his wife or did she fall down
stairs? He murdered her.
You got to watch the show.
No, I've already decided.
Well, maybe this will change your mind.
All right.
The Staircase. That's a really good.
Is that on Netflix?
It's a really good murder documentary. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Takes place over a long time.
Oh, yeah, I will watch that.
There's a lot of good shows like that.
Yeah, while I'm cleaning my
oven,
those shows. I will watch that tonight.
The Staircase. Yeah, it's good. It's interesting. And then finally, one movie review before we go. This came out this weekend. It's called A Simple Favor.
Yes.
And that came out this weekend. It is... we're talking about murder. It is a story, not a fictional story, but it's about a woman who disappears and her best friend who, basically there are two moms. Their kids are probably in the first grade. And, one mom says to the other one, would you do me a simple favor and pick my kid up from school? And this real mousy housewife lady played by Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
Do you need to see pictures of these people?
No,
Anna Kendrick picks up, Blake Lively's kid from school.
Yeah.
And Blake Lively's a very hip fashion designer woman who has a job in New York City.
Right.
Anna Kendrick is this dowdy sort of, she's actually a single mom, but she's she keeps up her home. She does a mommy video blog on YouTube, whatever. And so she is very envious of the life that Blake Lively leads and her beautiful house.
Because she picked up the kid and took him to the home.
And then they started hanging out.
Got to see the home.
And then they started having martinis
and
talking about their life.
Why don't I have this?
Well, then this woman disappears, Blake Lively.
Yes.
And what happened to her? Did the husband kill her? What happened? Anna Kendrick decides to investigate.
Right.
Familiarity breeds contempt. Now, this is a serious movie. It's based on a novel called A Simple Favor.
Yeah.
But it also has a lot of black humor. It was directed by a guy named Paul Feig, Paul Feig's a guy I've talked about on the show.
What is black humor?
Meaning it's... A
humor
comedy
for
about
blacks?
It's a com no.
A dark
that's like
humor.
A Kevin Hart movie. No, black
no, I
humor.
I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm gonna explain. it's a comedy about dark subjects like murder, crime.
Is that black humor or dark
that's
humor?
Dark. It could be one other way. Black comedy, dark humor.
I thought it was dark brown. Maybe
Paul Feig is the guy who directed this. He also directed the movie Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
He directed a lot of Melissa McCarthy's movies.
Oh.
He was the creator of a show called Freaks and Geeks.
Yes,
and
I remember that.
Most famously, for me, went to Chippewa Valley High School, which was my high school.
Really?
And is now a very famous director, producer in Hollywood, and made this movie.
Wow.
And it's a good movie. I'm saying A Simple Favor is good.
Wow, that's great.
Now, here's the
thing.
And you're
almost attached to him, kind of, sort of.
Well, look, I'm in comedy. He's in comedy.
Yes.
He's way older than me.
You were in high school. He was in high school.
We were never there at the same time.
Yeah.
He's older than me.
Yes.
But I will also probably never be the most famous person that went to my high school because he went there.
Are his parents alive?
I couldn't tell you.
All right.
But if you watch the show Freaks and Geeks,
yes,
it is essentially based on my high school.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yes.
How about that?
I think that's very cool.
That is cool.
That is cool.
Even though I hated my high school, I'm not really fond of, don't have a lot of fond memories of it.
You got to let it go,
but
Joel. Let it go.
It is now canonized as Freaks and Geeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do they actually have a plaque to Freaks and Geeks?
You know, I don't know.
School?
I haven't
they
been
should.
There. They should.
They should.
I don't know that Freaks and Geeks makes the high school look good early. I haven't watched
yeah,
enough
no.
of it.
Yeah, no. No, I think that's like Gross Point Blank, you know? Yeah. They could have a gun up in that school someplace. I don't know.
So anyway, Simple Favor. I recommend it, although here's the problem with Freaks and Geeks. I'm sorry, A Simple Favor. Forget about Freaks and Geeks. A Simple Favor. All the acting's good. It's interesting. It's well done. There was a movie that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic, called Gone Girl.
Oh, yeah, I remember
Got
that.
Lots
yeah.
of great, lots
yeah,
of
yeah,
nomination.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very good.
David Fincher movie, Ben Affleck.
Affleck, yeah, he was a husband
Pike.
That maybe
killed his wife, maybe
disappeared her, and maybe didn't.
There's a goddamn lot of similarities between this and Gone Girl.
Yeah, they do that.
So if you've seen Gone Girl, you might kind of know the plot points of this.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Gone Girl, and you're thinking about seeing A Simple Favor, just see Gone Girl. Because it's a better movie than Simple Favor. But Simple Favor's pretty good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was a fun thing. I hate to review it in this way. My girlfriend liked it. We went last night to the theater.
But she's going to like different movies.
But
than
I
hate. That's just the way it's going to be.
It's true. But we both liked it.
Yeah.
I hate to say this about movies because it makes it's sort of an insult, but I would say, hey, rent it. Meaning, don't run out and spend your money on it. Rent it for $4 or get it on Netflix or something.
Right.
But I think that's a bad way to review a movie.
Yeah. Because
my feeling, if it's good and you want to be entertained by it, then
right.
this will entertain you. But maybe it's not worth $10 a head.
Right.
Maybe it's only worth, you know, $4. So I don't know. I enjoyed it. We thought it was the best thing to see at the theater that came out. We felt like going to the movies. So this is what we saw.
Can I ask you a
and
question?
I don't regret it. And Paul Feig's a guy that, to me, is a reliable director.
Right.
And, you know, because we grew up in the same town and stuff, went to the same high school, I will support him. And so I did.
Well, good for you.
Yes.
You're a good person, Joel.
Thank you very much.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
About the movie theater business?
Sure. I was a movie theater usher, concession stand worker, ticket seller, and later theater manager.
What do you think?
And my youth.
What do you think about the path of the movie theater business?
Okay.
And that people have access to movies at home so readily anymore through multi-sources. So they're trying to.
You are correct.
They're putting lounge chairs in them.
They are.
Bar service.
I sat
waitresses.
In a powered recliner last
Yes.
night.
Did you have a waitress come to your
did
chair?
Did not.
I've had that before.
Yes.
And they also have a little bar nightclub.
They
you
do
sit
that.
In before you go
Some
in.
I'm sure.
You can actually have dinner up there.
You can
before
have
you
dinner.
Go
yeah.
Yes. And you pick out the specific seat.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that happening in the movie business? What do you think that leads us to? I mean, what is the next step to?
I think, first of all, I think movie theaters aren't in danger of going away because people always want to go out.
They do, and they
people
don't know what
leave
else
their
to
house.
Do.
They want to leave their kids. They want to go out and see a movie.
Right.
You got to do something with the kids. You got to
right.
drop them off at the movies.
Right.
Because didn't your parents ever do that? They dropped you off at the movies.
Yes.
And they went and did whatever the fuck they needed to do.
Well, we
whether
were,
they go shopping or
we
go
were,
fuck or whatever they did.
Right,
they
right,
did
right.
that.
Yes. Well,
or they went to their own movie
or
while you watched a cartoon.
Dude, we used to actually walk.
Yeah.
Just saying, when I was a kid, we'd walk
sure.
a couple miles to the theater yeah. and meet up with the girls in junior high.
Right, yeah.
A group of girls would meet up.
Play
guys
slap
meet up.
And tickle.
Yeah, whatever. We'd get
touch their goodies,
French fries afterwards.
Yeah,
yeah. They weren't built like these girls, so this is back.
No Ariel Winters.
No, not one. Not even maybe one in high school.
So here's the deal.
So what do you think?
I think that people what they're finding is that movie theaters are finding what is the point where people won't pay for this thing, and when people won't pay for it, they'll get rid of it. Meaning they're. If you go to a movie theater and they have dinner and they have a waitress and
right.
they have cocktails,
right.
it means that stuff's making money.
Right.
Because what the theaters are, what you find is that the theater tickets are not very lucrative for the theaters themselves.
Right.
The money's in the popcorn, it's in the concessions, it's in the drinks, it's in the food.
Yes.
So essentially, a movie theater's profits are mostly from the concession stand.
Right.
So all of those things are profit. They're more of a restaurant or a bar. A comedy club, similarly, similar business.
Yeah.
The money's in the bar. The right. money's not really in the comedy club ticket. A lot of that goes to the entertainment.
Right.
Probably not as much as it should, but there it is. So, yeah, these places are going to do that. And to put in a nicer chair and to charge you more money to sit in that nicer chair or a deluxe seat versus a regular seat is all things that people are willing to pay for. And until people aren't willing to pay for them, you're going to have those things.
Yeah.
And that can all be profit for the theater company in a way that just an admission to the show really makes money for the company that produced and released the movie and not the theater itself. So in my opinion, I guess that's your question?
Yes.
Did I answer
it? Well, that's part of it.
Yeah.
And the other part is,
where is this going? It could go anywhere, provided people are willing to pay. I think a comedy club could make a lot of money by saying, hey, if you want to sit in the front row, it's going to cost you an extra $10. And
I think people would pay not to sit in the front row.
Well, there's people that will pay not to sit in the front row, whatever, however you want to do it.
I'd be glad to pay money to not have junk mail delivered to my house.
There you go.
$10 a week.
Let me ask
think
you
think of the millions of dollars, billions of dollars, you could get the U.S. Postal Service to not bring you junk mail.
No, that's
no,
how,
I'm
but
serious.
That's how the Postal Service makes its money, giving you junk mail.
No, think about it, though.
No, because the people that send it out are paying the post office.
I know that, but think about it. If you pay $10 a week, if you pay $100 a year to not have junk mail, and they have the ability to sort it. Because when I was on tour, I couldn't stop my mail for any more than 30 days.
So you had to go pick it up?
Well, no, I had no way of doing it. I was on the road, and I had no forwarding address. I'm in a freaking RV at a truck stop.
But don't they just hold it for you?
No, they will not hold it for more than 30 days.
Oh.
And I know.
Go get it for
you? No.
Only you can get it?
I actually put a sign inside my mailbox, do not deliver mail. I went down there and told them, do not deliver mail. And I told them, after 30 days, throw it away.
And what happened when you got home?
It was all over.
It was full of mail.
And on the ground in the winter, showing that I'm not home.
Put a
which
bucket
a
out there. They can
actually,
put it
my
in there.
My daughter stopped by and picked some up. But they said you could have got a post office box.
Yeah.
And I said.
And forwarded it to the post office box.
But I said, after 90 days, doesn't it fill up with all this junk mail? They said, no, we sort it.
Oh.
We only give you the real mail, not the junk mail. And I thought, if you have that ability, I would pay you $10 a week or $10 a month. How about $10 a month not to deliver that? You have the ability to do it.
Mm.
And if that's $100 a year, and if you get...
My guess is you could probably get a service to do that
for you. If you get 100 million people to not get mail at $100 a year, that saves the post office.
All right.
Hey, but back to the theaters. What do you think about this? I was sitting in the theater, and I noticed it was an audience. And it's comedians, when they put shows together, they actually go out and say, you're funny, I'm funny, let's put a show together. Then they find a venue. Then they work their ass off to try and get an audience.
Right.
And here's an audience that showed up, that's ready to be entertained, sitting quietly, looking in one direction with a beautiful stage in front of them. I told Billy we should buy some portable amps, put them on our hips, and put little microphones on and entertain, kind of like SeaWorld, as the people come in and talk over what the advertising. Hang on.
Yeah.
Talk over the advertising. And you only got to do about 10 to 15 minutes, two-man bit. And then you move to the next theater because they're all ratcheted out.
Sure, yeah.
And you could do the same 10-minute bit. And you would probably get good at it after a while.
Yeah.
And this would distinguish your theater from the theater down the road that's showing the same movies.
Because
on Tuesday nights, we have live comedian entertainment.
That's not bad.
That's
not the worst idea in the world.
Thank you.
There are theaters that do an interactive experience at the movies. The big chain that does that is something called the Alamo Draft House. They're building one in Detroit.
Yeah.
There was one, I think, in Battle Creek. It closed. But the big one is in Austin, Texas. They've spread all over.
What do they do?
Let's say you were going to see a movie on a certain topic.
Right.
We'll pick your topic. I don't know. You were going to see a movie about a rock band.
Okay.
They might have a live rock band playing in the theater or before the show. They would have some sort of... If they were going to watch a movie about a comedian, they might have a comedian.
Oh, okay.
Live comedy in there. They may have, hey, dress up and come watch Grease, watch an old movie. They'll have things like that. They'll have themes. They'll have reasons for people to go to the movie with some production value.
And does that help them?
Apparently it does.
Well, see,
because when you go to the Alamo Draft House, in addition to that, you're paying more money for that.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to go see the guy do comedy before the movie, you got to pay the comedian, so you got to charge more for the ticket. And but that's how theaters are. That's why some of them make money.
Well, the question,
and the Alamo Drafthouse has the we will bring you dinner to your seat. We'll bring you drinks. You got a waitress.
Yeah, but
you pick your own seats.
What you do is you say, if I can improve your attendance, you tell me what your attendance is on average. I'll come in and do this on Thursday nights. And if you start booming on Thursday nights or your soft night, Wednesday, I don't care. I'll do it on those nights and I will take 25% of increase in profit on those nights or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're taking a percentage on those nights. And I think you could actually, you'd have an audience that would pay attention, which is good for comedians.
Yeah, well.
You have a some kind of source of income. You'd have a lot of live practice with, talking to the people in the audience. I think it'd be great.
I think the problem with that is that the movie's the draw and not you. And so I don't feel like
you're the reason they're going to this theater instead of that theater is because you have comedians on Tuesday night.
But let's say it's a hot movie and it's already sold out. Then who gives a fuck that you're there? They're already sold out. They don't need you.
It's not sold out on Tuesday night, dude.
Well, I mean,
I'm doing the reason you do it is you do it on a soft night. And you also do it
every night you're going to be there is a soft night.
Well,
no pun intended, Ted.
All right.
We got to wrap this up.
All right.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
We can't fix the movie theaters. Maybe if we had more time.
I've already bought the amps, dude. I'm on my way.
Ted and Billy will be going on the road in the RV.
We will. We're doing theaters.
Well, look, movie theaters used to have live.
Who said I can't do a theater?
They used to have live organists and stuff like that.
I know.
You still have the Redford in Detroit. You can go see a live organist.
I know. They have a drive-in theater, US 23 drive-in theater in Flint, Michigan.
Okay. Going to. No, there's a drive in here.
Take your gun.
The Ford, Wyoming.
Is there?
Bring your gun to that. I was there this summer.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
Now, did you?
Double feature.
What kind of car?
Double feature for one price.
What kind of car did you take?
I think we took my Honda.
Okay.
It's a little SUV.
Last time I went to a drive in theater, after Deep Throat, was to see a movie called Birth of a Baby.
What the?
I know.
Birth of a Baby.
Yeah, this girl wanted to see Birth of a
Baby. Who's in that?
I don't know. The girl was knocked up at the time. She knew it, and she didn't want to tell her parents.
So it was a comedy about a pregnant person?
No, they really showed the birth of a baby.
What the fuck? All right, let's get out of here.
All right.
We've had enough of you.
We brought him down at the end.
That's it. Burt Reynolds was not in that.
Yeah, you can cut that part out.
I don't know.
Thanks, Joel.
Ted, thanks for being here.
Anywhere
people want to know more about Ted, see you.
Yeah.
See
videos I'm nowhere.
From the Broken Road comedy tour.
Yeah.
Like that. Where would we do that?
You go to Facebook and go to Broken Road Comedy Tour.
There you go.
And it's broke and then the letter N and then road.
Broke and road.
Road hard and broken.
All right.
And broke.
Well, thank you, Ted. I appreciate you being here.
Fun.
You covered it.
All right.
You followed along.
Yeah.
You played along. You didn't see any of the things I saw, but that's okay.
Couldn't tell I was reading those notes.
But you should watch things like The Staircase.
I would.
You think you'd be interested? I think The Last Defense is very interesting as well. You got it already.
All right. Thanks, man.
And you're going to watch Springsteen on Broadway.
Yes, I am.
In December.
Looking forward to that.
And Bruce is going to talk between the songs. That's good. The stories are good.
Yes.
Ed Sheeran's story's not so good.
That's what we've learned.
Yeah, that's good. Bruce good. Ed, maybe not so much. But thanks for being here, Mr. Ted Moss.
Thank you.
Let's get out of here. Thanks for listening to Joel Radio. We'll catch you next time. Peace out. Rest in peace, Bert. I believe they were going to have a fleet of black Trans Ams at his funeral. I do.
I think that's right. Yeah, they should.
All right. But we'll have a fleet of RVs at your funeral.
Am I? Great.
Piano. We'll have a piano mover.
There you go.
Move you. If I can afford
that. As long as it's not more than 50
miles. 50 miles. See you, Ted.
All right, see you.